Good afternoon and welcome. This is the special hybrid commission meeting of July 6th, 2023, relating to spring break 2024. Mr. Clerk, why don't you provide Zoom information to the city?
Yes, sir. During this hybrid commission meeting, the city commission is physically present in the commission chambers at Miami Beach City Hall. The public is encouraged to attend the meeting virtually. However, members of the public who wish to attend the meeting or provide comment in person may appear in the commission chamber. To participate or provide comment virtually during the commission meeting, the public may join the meeting by visiting the Zoom app on their smart device or on the web at zoom.us or by telephone at 1-301-715-8592. The toll-free number is 888-475-4499, 888-475-4499. The webinar ID is 813-928-576-71#. Again, the webinar ID is 813-928-576-71#. Members of the public wanting to speak virtually on an item during the meeting must click the raise hand icon if using the Zoom app or press star 9 on the telephone to raise their hand.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Clerk. Okay, let's arise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Commissioner Rosa Gonzalez, why don't you lead us in the pledge? Okay. Mr. Clerk, what do you got for us?
No announcements this time.
You have no announcements?
No announcements. We're ready to go.
All right. Okay. So what we're going to do is this is a special committee meeting on commission meeting on spring break. And what we're going to do is we have a bunch of items. Some of them I've met with the staff today. Some of them are linked together, so we're going to try to group them in ways that make sense. Some of them are sequentially need to be done before others. So we try to do the best we can to put them in order and a sequence and a grouping that gives everybody an opportunity to be heard. And before we begin, you know, Commissioner Arriola got stuck in traffic. I know he's on the Zoom, so thank you. Let me just say a couple very quick things. Actually, I don't need to say anything. Let's get to all right, I'll say something since you made that face. Look, we, you know, for a decade we have been struggling with spring break, and yet we're here again, trying once again to put a knife in the heart of spring break, frankly, because spring break is not something our city has sought. It's not something we wanted. Every community in Florida that has had a spring break, every community that has had a spring break has tried to stop its spring break from happening because young, rowdy people coming to a city that's especially a city that is a residential community just doesn't make any sense. We will be discussing a lot of issues today and a lot of possibilities. Some, frankly, are, you know, some will stop all special events. Some will maybe have special events. Since I've been mayor, we've tried everything. We started my first 2 years, and we didn't have any special events. And then we decided we need special events, and we did special events. Now we're going to probably discuss not having special events. But either way, the point is that this has been a problem for us. It's been a policing problem for us. It's been a disorder problem for us. And I appreciate all my colleagues putting out the ideas that we're going to be discussing today. I don't know whether you ever solve spring break, but you certainly have to try to manage it. And we have to manage it in a way that works for our residents. So I'm happy to consider all of these items today. They're going to be put in an order in a sequence that makes sense. And we're going to start with our manager in R9E and R9D.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to use item R9E as an opportunity to frame where we started and where we are today. I think most of you will remember that after our difficult moments this past March, we had a meeting March 27th where there was a multitude of items directing us to do a variety of things. Subsequent to that, in April 28th, we had yet another wave of items May 17th, we had, again, items that had been deferred from previous agendas. So as of right now, we've had probably close to 14 agenda items related to spring break in some form or another. And for us, you know, we've taken direction from the items that passed, and we're using that as a frame of reference for purposes of discussing the different options and updating all of you today on what we've done and what we continue to do. We appreciate the opportunity to have what I consider to be an evolving dialogue. I will caution everyone that it's very important for us to have some clear direction as we leave here today. At some point, as it relates specifically to programming, it will become very difficult to program, and it will become very difficult to contract for the level of programming that I think we all would expect. So if you would look at R9E and look at the memo gives you a summary of the different things that we've done throughout the many years, and there are certain things that we know today, and we know that we've tried to program on the beach with secured perimeter. We've tried to program on Lummis Park, the beach, and Ocean Drive, and we know what the outcome of that was. And as the mayor mentioned earlier, we've had situations where we haven't had any programming. And what we see, and what those of us who have spent so many hours on Ocean Drive, is that there's something that happens, and it's an evolution. It starts, you know, it starts the first weekend in March, but it continues, and the crowd get heavier and heavier the second and third weekend in March specifically. And we have an overwhelming number of visitors that come and really just want to be on our streets. Our streets are the attraction. The postcard that we all love is part of the attraction, and having a party on that street is the attraction. And so what is it that we as an administration and as a team can continue to recommend to you that will somehow control that crowd and control what happens during those, in specific, second and third weekends? In order to summarize and again frame the conversation, on March 27th, there were certain items that were very specific that passed and gave us direction. There's one resolution, and you'll see it bolded on page 2 of the memo, where we were directed to meet with the Department of Transportation and talk about capacity limitations and the causeways and things that we could do. And Raquel will be prepared. Raquel and Jose will be prepared a little later. There's an actual item in response to that direction that actually summarizes for you those meetings and the discussions that have been ongoing with FDOT, which are no different, quite frankly, than anything that we've described to you in the past. FDOT's position is very clear. It's been very clear for multiple years. They work very cooperatively with us, and we do have an established maintenance of traffic plan that allows us to do the LPR detail and allows us to do the DUI checkpoints. But again, we can elaborate on that further, and that is specifically item R9C. The second resolution that you'll find referenced on page 3 is a resolution that directed the administration to attract an entity to plan and produce a private event on Ocean Drive and surrounding areas within a secured perimeter with ticketed admissions and appropriate security. That resolution actually passed, but then subsequently to that, there were resolutions that were placed on multiple agendas actually rescinding the concept. So despite that, and because that the rescission never passed, we did in fact prepare a request for letters of interest, and we did receive 5 proposals. However, those proposals, we have not convened the evaluation committee to have those discussions because, again, subsequent to that, the conversation at the budget workshop and subsequent conversations at commission meetings have been to not appropriate any funding to program. So we need a little bit of direction specific to that. We were asked very specifically to analyze the fencing option and the creation of a perimeter, and we did, in fact, do that, and we sent out by addendum the quotes that we got back, and you will see that depending on the different alternative configurations of what a perimeter would look like, that the fencing company that does the fencing for Ultra gave us proposals that range from anywhere between $2.9 million to $3 million, depending on what that configuration would look like. And the estimate that you have in your package is strictly for fencing, and it assumes that the fencing would stay up. The fencing doesn't go up, come down, and then go up again. So I wanted to make sure that you had the opportunity to look at that. That does not assume any programming dollars. It does not assume any of what it would take to actually program within the secured perimeter. In addition to that, we've been in touch with all of the event organizers that were part of our activation last year as it relates to the daytime athletic events. We've had a lot of positivity associated with those events, everything from AVP volleyball to High Rocks, the Fitness Festival, the King and queen of the courts, the volleyball activations. All of those activations and all of the producers of those activations very much have an interest in coming back to Miami Beach. I believe without any doubt that they would come back any time of the year. It wouldn't need to be specifically during March. There is a cost associated with subsidizing the construction of the volleyball court that everyone saw on the beach itself. So that is a conversation that is ongoing, and we certainly hope that at some point in the year, whether it's March or whether the decision is that we want daytime activation or whether it's some other time of the year, creating a hub for professional volleyball in our city is, I think, a beautiful concept that we were very excited about. In addition to that, there was a motion that was made by Commissioner Fernandez specifically directing us to come back and prepare ordinances related to the rollback, potential rollback of liquor sales. And you will see on your agenda today in the form of item R9B, a discussion with options related to that. And our city attorney and all of our staff will walk you through what those two options are. And we can certainly discuss that. There was a motion that was made specifically endorsing a state of emergency in advance of spring break 2024. And in your memo, you'll see that I actually have a statement, because I think it's important to have a clear record that as manager, I am required to declare a state of emergency in order to be able to effectuate a curfew. And I have to meet the criteria associated with the law. And so I'm telling all of you in writing that I am prepared to do that if I find myself in that situation. The reason that I raise that as an issue is because as part of that motion, the requirement was that all of the establishments that are within that area be notified via a copy of the motion itself, the motion resolution. That has not gone to all the area businesses, and I want to make sure, and the city attorney and I have discussed this, that when we send that out, that we have clear direction again, that that's certainly still the intent of the commission. So we're prepared to do that after this meeting, and however many businesses in this area would receive the motion and the resolution that, in fact, instructs the city manager to consider the declaration of a state of emergency and a potential curfew for a time period defined in the resolution as the second and third weekends. But I believe it encompasses the entire time between that second weekend and the third weekend. Over and above all of that, which are the approved legislative actions that all of you have taken, we obviously have continued to meet as a staff and continue to plan. We had a lot of conversations about enhanced law enforcement and what it would take to get us to a different level, specifically the second and third week. And the only issue, outstanding issue, that we never implemented this year, because we had a staggered schedule. Understand that spring break is multiple weekends, you know, sometimes 4 to 6 weekends in a row. And in coordination with our leadership, our union leadership, there was a compromise that was reached in terms of how the shift schedules would be planned for and how they would be implemented. We've had a conversation, and I think there's consensus not only on the part of our FOP, but also on the part of our command staff, that our recommendation would be that the second and third weekend of spring break in 2024, we would go to Alpha Bravo. Alpha Bravo scheduling gives us, we believe, a higher level of presence. That is what we do Memorial Day weekend. That's what we have done Memorial Day weekend every weekend that I've been here. So in your memo on page 4, there's a paragraph that speaks to all of the plans that we have for purposes of enhanced law enforcement. And there are things that you're very familiar with because many of you have been out with us, especially Memorial Day. It speaks to the license plate readers. It speaks to the DUI detail. It speaks to all the different levels of support from all of the multiple agencies that support us, both during spring break and Memorial Day weekend. It speaks to an enhanced loop that would control the traffic flow into the city. So all of those plans, irregardless of whatever the conversation is, we intend to implement, we intend to continue planning for, and we intend to recommend funding for in our proposed budget. The next item, which you'll see reference to here, is the high impact ordinance. Many of you know that the city has, since 2016, what we affectionately refer to as our high-impact ordinance. It's an ordinance that delegates special powers to the city manager and has historically been used and implemented, for example, sometimes during Super Bowl weekends. It's been used during Memorial Day weekend. It's been used during spring break. I felt pretty strongly that it was outdated at this point, and again, it was established in 2016. At the time, there weren't as many enforcement capabilities already as part of the law. By the way, many of those things that have been made part of the law are a function of your leadership and things that you've established already. So a working task force of city staff together with the city attorney's office have been working for weeks, basically just thinking through every possible thing that we could put in a high-impact ordinance that would delegate for a period of time, a defined period of time, and use all the same parameters that are in the original ordinance. There's a process by which a manager would have to declare a high-impact period and a notification period and what it would entail. And so we've worked on a draft. We circulated to you this morning a summary, and it's, again, it's an evolution. It's in draft form of what an ordinance could potentially look like that we would bring back to you for first reading in July. And some of the things that we've done, and again, we can elaborate on all of these things, is to redefine the high-impact ordinance, the zone specifically, to mirror the zone that we've used to declare the curfew. So that's a new definition in the ordinance. We've adjusted the time period to mirror the promoter ordinance. We've taken out things that are already part of the law, like, for example, the prohibition of any direct or indirect consumption of alcohol on the beach. That's already part of our law. So we've cleaned up the things that are already part of our law, and we've added some new things, for example, requiring a permit for portable sound amplification devices. This is something that police feels is important for them to have. I have a concern about the beach itself and our ability to close the beach. We all know that the spring break crowd, and I've witnessed this happen now multiple years in a row, the true spring break crowd comes out around 5 o'clock, and there's a takeover of the beach at a particular location every single year, same time, same location. And those are the images that many of you have seen where, you know, people take over our lifeguard stands, they take over the equipment, and there's a crowd that's partying and they're having a good time on the beach, but it escalates, and it starts probably around 5-6 o'clock in the afternoon, and it continues to escalate till about 8 o'clock. Then that crowd spills into Ocean Drive. So we've added some language to the high impact ordinance for your consideration that would allow the manager very specific authority related to closure of segments of the public beach to basically secure the beach from those particular moments. We've added some language here that allows us the implementation of a high impact parking rate that would double the event flat rate that's currently in effect. We would obviously exclude our residents. We've added some language that's specific to towing rates. One of the things that we've heard a lot of conversation about is there's new Florida law that allows for the declaration of a special event zone. But the way the law reads, it has very specific criteria that you have to meet before you can do that. And we have not been able to use that criteria during spring break. So I tasked the group and our city attorney's office, how do we pull what we like from that legislation and include it in a high impact ordinance so we have capability to implement that? So what you'll see here is the implementation of a high impact non-resident towing rate equal to double the non-resident towing rate in effect. So basically that sends a message. You come here, you know, you park illegally, you start tailgating illegally in some location, we're going to tow you and the rate is going to be double what it is in the city. Both that and potentially some of these other items would require some contract amendments that we certainly hope the towing companies would support us on. So that's a sampling of what's in the high impact ordinance. I'm hoping that we'll get some feedback from all of you in terms of what you like and what you don't like, and then we'll continue working on a draft that we would bring back for you for first reading in July. In addition to that, I'm recommending in the package that you have before you and in my memo, the closure of city-owned garages anywhere between 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Again, the goal there is to, and we recognize the impact that may have on surrounding businesses, but the goal is very specific, and it's to basically prevent what we see happens on Ocean Drive and the influx of crowds that take over Ocean Drive. We have, and I have implemented a 9 p.m. closure in the past. I've done it Memorial Day weekend. I've done it at specific moments in time. In your memo, you'll see reference to anywhere between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Obviously, we've talked a lot about critical and crisis management and what we can and cannot do in terms of public relations. We've talked to the Bureau a lot, and David Whitaker is here in the audience today. We've talked to the Bureau a lot. We communicate with them very regularly. They've been extraordinarily supportive of our efforts, including adding some funding to help support our efforts, and they continue, I think, to be committed to doing that. And they've made their PR agency available to us to assist us in whatever we need. The difficulty for me right now is that the only thing that's official in terms of messaging is a curfew that legally can't be implemented until such time as we meet the criteria of a state law. So messaging that becomes a very difficult thing to do, which is why the conversation about alcohol today is very important to us, because if something happens, if there's a specific act related to alcohol, that is certainly something that can be messaged in terms of what's going to happen in the city of Miami Beach in March of 2024. That concludes my summary. I would ask, you know, if you want the specific details of the different reports that are on the agenda, we're prepared to do that.
Okay, so here's the order so we don't jump all around. And thank you for that, by the way. Thank you. I know it was a lot of work. What we're going to do in order-wise is we're going to go to R7A, which is Commissioner Dominguez's task force. After that, we're going to go to R9B, which is the alcohol hours. After that, we're going to do R9A, R7B, and R9F sort of grouped together. They deal with Commissioner Miner's fencing, Commissioner Fernandez's special events, and then also Commissioner Fernandez's other special events. But the reason why they're together is that if you have fencing, you may need a special event, you may not. Those are somewhat related. And then we will end with R9C, which is the MOU with FDOT. And so the only reason I put it in that sequence is going over staff, it seemed that made the most logical sense. So we're going to start now with Commissioner Dominguez. Let's pull up R7A, and then we're going to go to R9B, which is the 2 a.m., or I'm sorry, the midnight rollback. Go ahead. Call it up, Rafael.
R7A is established ad hoc spring break task force requested by Commissioner Dominguez.
Commissioner Dominguez, what do you like us to do?
Okay. So thank you, Mayor. For this particular item, the reason why I had put it forth initially was because the Police Citizens Committee had suggested the city take action and form a task force. And I've thought about this a lot, and I also had a great conversation with the city manager and the city attorney. And what I'd like to propose is that the commission ask the Police Citizens Committee to be that task force for the next 6 months. So that way the city is not using extra resources to develop a new committee, but we're asking the Police Citizens Committee to please be that task force.
I'll second that motion.
All right. Is there any objection? Show it done. All right. Let's move on to R9B. And pull that up, and I'm going to ask Rafael Paz to go for the options.
R9B is discuss options for alcohol hours of sale in March 2024.
Okay. Rafael and Tom.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. So to begin the conversation of alcohol hours during March of 24, we have to start with March of 2022, when we tried, Commissioner Fernandez sponsored an ordinance to do a rollback for a portion of that month within the area south of 23rd Street, and we were enjoined by the court, and so the court enjoined the enforcement of the ordinance. The court specifically found that if we had a crowd control problem, that we could simply increase our police presence. And she also found that she felt that because we were defining a geographic area, the area south of 23rd Street, that somehow made it a zoning regulation and that any rollback would need to be implemented via an amendment to the LDRs on a 5-7 vote. So if you wanted to propose a rollback for March 24, we would recommend, and we would need to deal with that court order and address address the issues that the court raised. What's different now from March of 22 is we now have two more years of a spring break problem and a crowd control problem, and throwing all of the resources that we could muster and every available law enforcement officer in Miami-Dade County, pulling from multiple jurisdictions, and increasing our police presence alone is not enough. And as a result, we have to take the draconian action of declaring emergencies and imposing a curfew. We know from our experience that it's not enough. We would recommend that if you wanted to do a rollback and you wanted to look at the same area of south of 23rd Street, then put that in the LDRs and go through that process, the planning board review, and it would come back and require a 5/7 vote. And then the third thing, that because the last ordinance was adopted in February of 22, and it really didn't leave a lot of time before the rollback went into effect for March of 22, what's different this time around is we would be giving establishments many months' notice. We'd be doing it 8 months in advance, along with sending a resolution, which if you affirm today that that's your desire, that you want us to send a resolution to all of the establishments that the manager, that you endorse the manager's determination of imposing a curfew for March 2024. So everyone will be on notice that this is coming and you need to plan accordingly. So we think if you wanted to do a rollback, we would structure it to address the concerns that the court raised in March of 22. And you can always also consider the second option that we've recommended in the package, which would be a citywide rollback, which we've always said is really our strongest position if you wanted to send the message that the party is over and you're closing the door on spring break. Then to send that cohesive message, you may want to consider a citywide rollback for that period of time.
Okay, let me just get you a couple quick questions before we open it up. And procedurally, what we're doing here, folks, is we don't have an item to vote on. We're simply going to be giving direction through a resolution, essentially, to direct you to come back and prepare.
If there was consensus for one or more options, then we would prepare the ordinance, or we could refer today the appropriate ordinance to the planning board for consideration.
So two options. One would be a midnight rollback for, and the way it would be the those two or three weekends. There's five weekends in March 2024, but at least those two weekends and the time in between, which has traditionally been the time. One would be a rollback to midnight in the south of 23rd or 4th Street area. What is the, if you don't mind, what is, would that be in the LDRs?
For the defined geographic area south of 23rd, that would be in the LDRs.
And in
your package, that's option two.
And option one is citywide, but as an ordinance, not an LDR?
That's right. A citywide, we've established the 5 a.m. alcohol regulations in Chapter 6. If you're going to do a citywide, make a change to that, then put that in Chapter 6, and that's a 4/7 vote.
And so the citywide is 4/7, the LDR is 5/7. Explain to everybody before we open it up a little bit about the recent ruling, the recent ordinance from the state legislature, the measure that provides for almost immediate TROs, basically.
That's right. So that's Senate Bill 170 was just signed into law last week by Governor DeSantis. And what the law does, it requires us, effective October 1, to prepare, along with every ordinance, a business impact statement that would contain, you know, certain content. And it significantly makes it easier for plaintiffs to challenge the validity of ordinances that counties and cities adopt. And what it does right now, if you want to challenge an ordinance and suspend the enforcement of the ordinance, you need to move for a preliminary injunction and meet the very high burden of the elements of the injunction for the injunction standard. This new law practically dispenses with the standard altogether and simply provides that if you file a complaint after October 1 and allege that an ordinance is either preempted or unreasonable or arbitrary, then the city is required to suspend the implementation and the enforcement of that ordinance until the court's final determination. And even then, if we prevail and get a summary judgment, a final judgment, then we have to wait 45 days before we could enforce the ordinance.
And another business might be able to do the same thing right after.
I missed that.
Maybe. Another business can also then, a different business might make another motion.
We would deal with that, but you know, after October 1st, we're going to be dealing with a different landscape with challenges for sure. Now, very importantly, there are exceptions and categories of legislation that are exempted from the requirements of the law, and one of those is the adoption of ordinances that are land development regulations. So putting it in the LDRs, in this case, we've done that several times, successfully recently with the South of 5th 2 a.m. rollback that was in the LDRs, then that would not be subject to the requirements of the provisions of this new law.
Are you sure the citywide ordinance citywide would fall within its reach?
We think it probably would if it's adopted after October 1st.
I see. Okay. All right. So why don't I open it up for questions from my colleagues. There are two options. By the way, last question, could we do both options? Could we have a citywide as an ordinance and a south of 23rd Street as an LDR?
Yes. The two ordinances, they overlap, but they don't conflict. So if you wanted to start and with both options and see where you land on second reading or adopt both, recognizing that maybe there will be challenges along the way, and you really want, you know, some rollback to stick.
One may work better than the other. Ultimately.
Then they overlap; they don't conflict.
Okay. Questions, members? Commissioner Fernandez.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Attorney. So, with the state law that passed, my understanding was that the law, it's only applicable to laws that are passed after October 1st.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So. So if before October 1st, let's say we pass either option A or option B.
Or both.
And first reading, let's say we pass one, and then in second reading, I would hope and strongly urge this body that we adopt something on second reading before October 1st, it wouldn't be subject to the provisions of this law. Is that correct?
That's right. You could, for the citywide rollback, for example, you could have first reading at the July 26 commission meeting and second reading September 14th. With the other ordinance as well, if you referred it today to the planning board and we can get it heard in July, then we can have the two readings in September.
Okay. I strongly feel that as a community, as a city, we have a shared responsibility to send a strong message that we are shutting the door on spring break, not just on Ocean Drive, not just on Washington Avenue, not just on 23rd Street, not just on Collins Avenue, that we're shutting the door on spring break in Miami Beach, that this is not the destination for spring break. And I think the only way that we can deliver an effective message with this is that if we provide a clear and consistent policy on this, and the only way we provide that clear, clean-cut policy on that is that if we say that in addition to the city manager being able to declare a state of an emergency next year, she deems it necessary that we would support her in that, but that effective now. We are saying that we are going to support a rollback of alcohol sales, and I would 100% support a citywide rollback of alcohol sales so that it is crystal clear that we're shutting the door on spring break, whether it be South Beach, Mid Beach, North Beach, Collins Avenue, Washington Avenue, Ocean Drive, wherever it is in Miami Beach. Miami Beach does not want the mess associated with this. And the only way we start messaging that now is if we support one of these measures. And I am inclined to support option A. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. The only thing I would add is I agree with everything you said. I would support both of them because, frankly, the citywide one as an ordinance may – even though we have an October date, here's something that I think we need to consider. There are five weekends in March this year, and if we pick the weekends that we think, if we limit it to those weekends, we may have to redo the ordinance the following year for a different set of weekends. If you already have it in the LDRs, then you have a backup if something happens to the citywide ordinance. So I actually support the citywide ordinance. I also would suggest that we should direct them to prepare, and I would even support adopting the LDR one as well for the region so that both are protecting the community. And if one falls aside because of either an adverse court ruling or because we have to redo it in a year and it now falls outside of the October, that we, in fact, have a protection for at least the South Beach area. You follow? But I agree with you. Who else wants to be heard? Commissioner Ariola.
Yeah, I'm going to be a no for a lot of reasons. One is I don't think it works. I think we've had so much experience, COVID being probably the most extreme, where we had a curfew, an actual curfew, on top of having bars and nightclubs completely closed. We weren't even allowed to be open, and yet we had probably the most chaotic experience we've ever had in the city of just crowds being over, you know, totally unruly. The 2 a.m. rollback I don't think is going to make the difference that you all think. But what will happen is we will crush the nightlife industry here. To put something in our LDRs that would extend for the whole period of March will just tempt some people here to go for the full month. So what sounds like a knock is, hey, just be just in case, just on a weekend. I've seen it happen many times, COVID being the most extreme example of just broad overreach of government, just shutting the door on business. And that's why the state legislature passed what I think is a bad piece of legislation, challenging municipalities to justify business closures, because so many municipalities, including ours, were so overreaching in their application of what is an essential business, what is not. A liquor store is essential, a church is not. Explain that one to me. So I'm going to be a hard no on pretty much all of these today.
Anybody else want to be heard? Commissioner Richardson.
I have to slow down a little bit and get some questions answered. So
you're recognized for a series of questions.
Thank you. Just a few. So, Madam Manager, I appreciate the historical perspective. I'm trying to piece all the different puzzles together. What is the difference between a high-impact ordinance or period and declaring a state of emergency?
The high-impact ordinance is specific to the city of Miami Beach. It was created, I believe, in 2016 as a result of or in preparation for a Floatopia event. It has very specific things that it allows a city manager to do, and it also has criteria under which a city manager would declare that and the notification requirements. It's done ahead of time. You basically have to predict that you're going to have this level of crowd issue. And so you predict that, you impose it. We declare it in the form of an LTC. We do press announcements, and then it happens. And, you know, I know it's been used by prior city managers. I myself have imposed it during Memorial Day weekend, I believe almost every Memorial Day weekend. The curfew is honestly a very dramatic option that is made available to us through state law. And the state law is very specific to the criteria that's required. It requires the declaration of a state of emergency. I don't know what the history of the state law is. My gut feeling tells me that the state law was very specific to natural disasters. I don't know that it envisioned sort of the evolution of how the state of emergency has been declared in multiple jurisdictions, not just ours. So it's a very different thing that gets declared once you have the emergency. So one happens, one is ours, it's local, and it's very specific to the city of Miami Beach, and it requires very specific things to be done ahead of time. The other is after the fact in reaction to a state of emergency.
Yeah, so the reason I ask the question is because, I'm concerned about this conversation we had previously about notifying people that we're going to declare an emergency, because I've always been told that state law says you can't declare an emergency until you have an emergency, so this anticipatory emergency is something that troubles me, and I wasn't aware of this high-impact ordinance, but what I'm trying to understand is whether the nuance of using a high-impact ordinance allows one to accomplish some of the same goals as declaring a state of emergency, but not calling it a state of emergency if you call it a high-impact ordinance. And maybe the lawyers could speak to that. So,
well, I think that the what we're really talking about here is curfews. And we don't believe that we could impose a curfew but under a high-impact ordinance. It's an extraordinary remedy that is available in emergency circumstances. And we think it's, you know, it's a higher bar, and that would require – that's when the declaration of emergency would be required. The elements that are in the high-impact ordinance are things that the manager could do, but some of them are not things that you want to do, you know, any day of the week, doubling fines, closing public areas, things of that nature, and messaging it in advance so that people know what they're getting into.
So the act of declaring a curfew is part of declaring an emergency. So you don't think declaring notifying people that you are anticipating a curfew or want to have that normally would not be in a high impact ordinance because you don't think it can only be done as part of an emergency.
That's right. That's what we have said. And it, you know, it is severely restricting freedom of movement, freedom of travel. So it's an extraordinary remedy.
And
an effective one and a necessary one under the appropriate circumstances.
But all of the other things that we've talked about, I tried to list them, portable sound devices, parking, closing parking garages, parking rates, tow rates, all of those things you think are appropriate and have a legal basis under a high-impact ordinance.
Yeah. Yes. Right. And the legal basis is we think that these measures are rationally related to the city's interest in addressing these issues and helping the police department and our law enforcement to control the crowds.
So the only thing that, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, I just want to try to get this right. The only thing that you think can't be put into a high impact ordinance is the declaration of an emergency. Is that fair?
The curfew.
That's
the main, that really is the main measure, emergency measure that you get with a declaration of emergency.
Right. And Commissioner, okay. What I would add to that is there was a whole host, again, I tasked a working group to work with the city attorney's office, and there was a wish list on the part of some of our staff, very specifically our enforcement folks and our police staff. And we vetted all of the ideas, and so we had to fine-tune them because, obviously, we had very candid conversations about what could be defensible and not defensible. So what you're seeing is the result of, you know, vetting a whole host of ideas that included a lot of other options. And what I would tell you also is what I have found is I've never implemented the high-impact ordinance in its totality. Depending on what the issues are, we've been very specific about certain things. We've never said, okay, we're implementing the entire thing. We've implemented, you know, whatever thing we thought was going to be the thing that would help us during that particular specific situation.
And so now when you went through the high-impact ordinance item, I was listening, but I didn't hear alcohol, and now we're having alcohol as part of a separate discussion. So would alcohol normally be part of a high-impact ordinance, and yes or no, and if it's not, why isn't it?
It had only been referenced in the original high-impact ordinance, specifically as it related to alcohol consumption on public beaches, and that's the law already, so we actually took it out. Because that's already the law. You can't consume alcohol or purchase alcohol on the beach, in Miami Beach, unless through a permitted event.
And so this past spring break on the fourth weekend, remember we didn't support a curfew, but we supported closing package stores. Is that only as part of a declaration of emergency, or Could that be done under a high-impact ordinance?
We actually had that conversation.
Well, you could do that.
I wanted it in here.
If there was consensus to address packaged liquor sales, then it's no different than what we're discussing for on-premises consumption. You could amend the code and either do a citywide rollback for whatever time you feel is the right time based on the input of the administration and the police department, or look at the same geographic area that we've been looking at for south of 23rd Street. But the issues are the same, whether on premises or off premises. It's not so much a high impact measure as a standalone alcohol hours regulation.
So you would not recommend putting anything related to alcohol, whether it be consumption on premises or sale at package stores, as part of a high impact ordinance. You would always keep alcohol separately.
Yes, we have, if you're going to do a citywide rollback, then put that in Chapter 6, the right we've established the hours of either 2 a.m. or 5 a.m. in excess, beyond the default under the state law, which is midnight under the state law. That's all in Chapter 6. If you're going to do a geographic area to address and to check the box on the concerns that we heard from the court in the last few years, if you're going to do a geographic area, put that in the LDRs. That's what we're recommending. Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I'm really curious about is the conversation we're having today about Senate Bill 170, because I don't, again, want to misinterpret the comments, but it seems like there's a motivation, if you will, to move today versus tomorrow because of some deadline that's been set by the state government of October. And if we want to do something, we have this window of opportunity now to do something. And I don't really, March is some months away. I question in all of this how a new commission is going to fit in with all of the planning, right? Because November is going to be here, and there'll be at least three new people elected, and maybe four, and there'll be perhaps different ideas. And what happens if we try to adopt something, or we do adopt something, and the new commission comes in and reverses it or adds things? Have we thought about that?
Sure. And I know you've had discussions here that until your last day in office, you will be voting on any measure that comes before you, and that's not going to change. And the same is true. It is a fact that this new law applies effective October 1. This is an area that we have, repeatedly for many years, been litigating. So we could expect a challenge, and the new law will change the landscape somewhat. That's not to say that if you adopt something before October 1, we will still be in court, and the plaintiff will have to bear the burden of proving that the injunction standard is either met or not met. And so I don't think that in terms of the future commission, that's very much on our minds. Certainly with the endorsement of the state of emergency, the manager can only declare a state of emergency for 72 hours, and any extension will be determined by the commission in place at that time. But any of these ordinances or resolutions could be repealed potentially if that was the will of the commission at the time, ultimately.
And is the 72 hours that the manager has, is that state law or is that part of our ordinance?
I think it's part of our code, but state law does require the governing body to extend, beyond 7 days for up to a total maximum of 42 days. So really, ultimately, it's both state law and our code.
And Commissioner, I'm sorry, the only other thing that I would say is that, we have our staffing plan and we have all of our implementation plan in place by December. I mean, we start meeting As soon as we get through the summer, we start meeting every 2 weeks for purposes of spring break. Obviously, in between now and then, we have our Basel, and we have the boat show, and we have South Beach Wine and Food, and we have all these other things that we plan for and support. But, you know, we plan for spring break for a very long period of time. And by December, I mean, there's criteria in our labor contracts that require that certain things be met and that schedules be done by a certain time. And so we very much need direction as to what we're doing. If it's different, obviously the basic core public safety plan is what it is. But if we're going to be programming, if we're going to be doing a bunch of other things, we need to understand what those are, and we need to contract, and we need to be in a situation where we're prepared to do that. I don't know that we can wait to a January commission meeting to decide those things.
But we could decide something today or in the next few months, and then it could be undone or changed by a future commission. I think that's a reality, because
it is a reality.
There's going to be a new commission sitting here probably on November 28th.
That certainly is a reality.
And thank you, Mayor, for your indulgence while I just get these clarifications. Now, we also talked about the injunction that we had. So explain to me, I think I understand the 5 versus 4 if you do something citywide, but then the other thing that's come up is this question of vested rights. And so whether you do something citywide or in a zone, has that question been resolved by the courts in terms of, can someone sue us saying they have a vested right to serve alcohol until 5 o'clock in the morning?
Yes, somebody can sue us and allege that they have a vested right, particularly if the claim is that in their CUP that maybe there's a few establishments have said that they believe that their operating hours in their CUP is by extension an approval of alcohol hours, even though alcohol is nowhere referenced in the CUP. But those claims would be there, and we would deal with those. And in the ordinance, we had proposed a vetting procedure for reviewing these vested rights claims, an administrative procedure to provide some kind of due process around that and you know, attempt to address the court's concern, recognizing that ultimately we don't believe that there are any vested rights in alcohol hours, period.
And would that be, you have the same opinion on the operation of a package store? Are those conditional use as well?
I don't believe that there's conditional use approval for packaged liquor stores.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, I share a lot of Commissioner Arriola's comments about some concerns about the business and the economic impact. There's also at this point for me so much uncertainty about what next March is going to look like. What if there's a major thunderstorm, right? We don't know, and that affects the tourism industry, and all of a sudden we've already imposed limitations on alcohol hours when it's not necessary. Sort of where I was at the end of March, you know, in 22, we decided to shut down weekend number 4 because of the actions that happened on weekend number 3. And in 23, I said, you know, I'm not willing to do that, because we saw in 22 that weekend number 4 is not the problem. So maybe what you want to do is you want to apply those measures to weekend number 3, but you wait until weekend number 3 happens until you do it, and then you want to apply it for weekend number 4, and it's not needed. So we don't know. I mean, we've had history, certainly, but we don't know what the weather conditions are going to be like that may kill someone's interest in coming here. And I've never believed that the problem is really happening inside the clubs. The problem is happening on the streets and our inability to control what is happening on the streets. And that's why last March I said, and if you remember, I'm the one that made the motion for reconsideration and offered an amendment on the package stores. I think that one of the biggest problems we have is the sale of alcohol in small package stores in the entertainment district. And I very much would like to curtail that. I don't know when that started, how they got opened, but if you go there, I think there are 8 or 9 of them. You literally can walk into a package store, get your single serving, pour it into a Gatorade, and you've got your less expensive drink right on the street. So I am certainly willing to support something along those lines, because I think that's a persistent problem. But I've never believed that the problem is going on in the clubs. The truth is that most of the people causing the problems can't even afford to go into the clubs and pay $18 or $20 for a cocktail. That's not what the problem is. And so I think we need to explore other options. I like the idea of this high-impact ordinance. I'm now understanding maybe that gives us some vehicle to do something that we, you know, can do other than calling it an emergency because of the restrictions we have for state law. And so I would very much entertain moving forward with that and giving you latitude. The other thing I'd like to look at and see whether or not we can give the city manager, I don't know how the body feels about it, but instead of 72, if it's 96 hours of an emergency period, I don't know if that's a charter change or if we can, if that's an ordinance change. Does anybody
for
know?
For the state of emergency, that would be in our code, and then we'll check.
Yeah, so let's check. I mean, that's something that I would be willing to give the city manager that authority going forward. 96 versus 72, it's an additional day, and we've had this issue come up where there's a 4-day weekend. So, and then anything after that would have to be supported by the commission. But I'm not going to be supportive of just these wholesale alcohol changes without us even knowing what's going to happen next March. And the other thing is I'm a little concerned about this kind of artificial deadline we have here of October because of Senate Bill 170, and I don't want our actions to be reactionary to something that's happened at the state level and feeling like we've got to get something under the wire so we might not get sued. I don't think that's the best way to create legislation.
Thank you. Before I call in Commissioner Dominguez and then Commissioner Minor, let's confirm for a second what we are talking about. And maybe one of our police should also come up. What weekends? Because I'm looking at the March 2024 calendar. I think our colleagues should know when we talk about a potential rollback what that is. And by the way, obviously anybody can ask a measure to be put on the agenda. Since we're all together, the purpose of this workshop is to see what kind of support there would be for it. One of our colleagues wasn't feeling well, so we lost her, but we still have enough to discuss it. Chief, March 1st is a Friday of 2024, March 30th, 31st is a Sunday of that. So there are 5 weekends next year in March. What is your recommendation if we were to roll back to midnight, either or in both the south of 23rd area as well as the entire city? What would the day be? Would it be the second week in the 8th and 9th through the 15th, 16th, or would it be further? Would it be what would we be talking about? And by the way, obviously this is checkers, and not checkers in the sense that you can tell us, but when we actually, if we do consider a measure, the assumption is you guys are going to come back and say, we've looked at everything. Here's what our data points tell us. Here's what our statistics tell us. This is what we're recommending. But I think for purposes of just general discussion, what would you be talking about if you had 9 days, so to speak?
Sure. Here, Mayor, let me just, if I could just ask a clarification on your question, because we do have a bit of an unusual situation that there are 5 weekends. So it's always been my understanding that our staff determines whether the second and third weekend, they look at the number of schools letting out on break, right, to see.
Yep.
And that I'd like to be part of the question, is if whether or not we've started looking at, of those 5, which are the 2 weekends that are going to be the largest impact? Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm asking, because I know exactly how they do it. So just so we get a sense of what are you talking about?
Sure. Wayne Jones, Deputy Chief of Police Department. Mr. Mayor, before I answer your question, I want to share some numbers with you. from this year's spring break, right? During week one of this year, we arrested 118 people. Week two, we arrested 114 people. Week three, 139 people. Week four, 117. So the truth of the matter is, every week during spring break, we're arresting a considerable number of folks. Now, for our purposes, this has been consistent. During the week of St. Paddy's Day, which is usually the 17th, and to answer your question, the week leading up to that St. Paddy's Day and the week immediately following St. Paddy's Day tend to be our busiest week in terms of calls for service and tend to be our busiest week in terms of arrests. And so if we were going to do this, I would probably recommend that those 2 weeks consecutively would be our busiest week, and that's when you want to do it. For the police
support, 2 weekends with the middle days in between?
Correct. We're doing hand staffing for middle days.
Like Friday to a Monday, 2 weekends, and the Monday through Friday in between.
Correct.
Okay.
And for the Friday through Monday, begin at 7 in the morning, ending at 7 Monday morning, probably do an Alpha Bravo configuration where the entire police department is working throughout the entire weekend.
Okay.
Mayor, if I could, I'm not clear. I'm looking at the calendar. So there's a weekend that's March 1 and 2. It's 2 and 3. 9 and 10, 16, 17, 23, 24, and 30 and 31. So which weekends, which of the two are you saying are going to be the highest impact you're anticipating?
Well, certainly the weekend of St. Paddy's Day. And
for our guest mission, that's the 16, 17?
Correct. And our guest mission right now, and by the way, this needs to be confirmed when we look at the data related to spring break of the various universities and colleges around the country. But our data right now suggests the weekend prior to St. Paddy's Day and the weekend of St. Paddy's Day.
So that's March 15th through March 18th and March 8th through March 11th, and that's reflected in the memo in R9B.
All right, I'm going to get to some of the others, and we're going to come back if you want to. Commissioner Dominguez, you're up.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a very complicated situation, and it's something that we need to rein in for sure. It's been year after year that we have the issues. This year during spring break, I was out multiple times, and I was out during late into the evening, and my observation was that it was the congregating on Ocean Drive, people coming with their own drinks and their own sound systems and coolers, and by the time the police would try to do something to dissipate, it was too late because there were too many people. So the congregating and pedestrianization on Ocean Drive it did not work. There was a little spillover into Collins. Washington was fine. And then 5th Street, because it had FHP in doing the checkpoints, that area was fine as well. What I, in looking at the suggested ordinances, what I worry is what Vice Mayor Arriola and Commissioner Richardson said of unintended consequences for businesses that are not affected. So in North Beach, in Mid Beach, in Collins Park, now the city manager and I talked about a terrible incident that happened at a club in Collins Park that happened in May, not during spring break. It was something targeted and terrible, and that particular club has elevated everything, everything from the wanding and more extensive undercover guards and the whole thing. But I just worry of the unintended consequences of all of these businesses where the area and the hotspot is Ocean Drive and the congregating that's allowed there. So those are just my initial thoughts.
Commissioner Miner, you're recognized.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have an opposite position of many of my colleagues. I'm so frustrated right now because we have a real problem in our city, literally just 6 days out of the year. 6 days out of the year. We can end this chaos. We can absolutely do it if we were united, but we're not. We're completely split. The chaos is just probably going to continue. We don't have the will. We literally have a situation right now where we have a handful of businesses that are pulling the strings, here and saying don't shut down. But yet, who's going to suffer? Our residents are going to suffer. And actually, a lot of good businesses, what we don't hear from, I mean, I have heard from them, is a lot of really good businesses want us to do this because they suffer. And some may not suffer, but they're willing to understand the situation for the betterment of our city, that for literally 6 days, we can end this situation. I'm not just talking about alcohol. There's so many aspects, not just the alcohol hours. And we'll get to it. We're talking about the secured perimeters. We're talking about parking garages, DUIs. I mean, DUIs, checkpoints. It's a multitude of factors. But the reason why we have to do it now, in my opinion, has nothing to do with the state Bill 170 that's coming up on October 1st. Nothing to do with that. We have to send the message now. In my opinion, we should have sent the message in the fourth week of March and said, this is exactly what we're going to do. You want to come back next year? You're going to go through medical detectors. There's going to be canines that are going to be sniffing for drugs. I mean, let's be real. I mean, we obviously had a couple of shootings in those 6 days, but there was a tremendous amount of drug sales that were going on. And I'm not blaming our police force. The amount that was going on, it's almost impossible. But if you have canines out there, it makes it a little different story. If you have metal detectors where people know they're going to get caught if they have an illegal weapon, it changes the dynamics. But we need to get that message out now and forcefully. But it's not happening. And by the way, as far as just to address the issue, I mean, we literally have 100-something items on every commission meeting. If we waited till November when we have an election, our government would be paralyzed. We have to make decisions. Our commission can overturn almost any decision at any time. And in November, that will happen on certain things, maybe even this item. Maybe we'll actually move forward. We have to make some really strong decisions. I look at it as it'll be maybe a hit. I don't even know if it is. I mean, some of the businesses actually had to shut down in that second and third week of March. They had to shut down anyway. There were stampedes. Some of it was orchestrated for social media purposes. But I mean, some of those businesses, for the safety of their employees, had to shut down. So I just don't understand why we're going through this process once again, knowing that if we continue on the same road, we're going to have the same chaos continue next year. Just let's make the hard decisions now. Let's do it. And in my opinion, if we did this, if we took the hard bite 1 year, if we did it for 1 year, everything, alcohol sales, secured perimeters, canines, parking garage, DUI checkpoints, having the state officers as well as we did at that last weekend, it will end it. We'll get the message out early, and it'll never come back.
Okay.
I do have a couple of questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
City Attorney Raphael, let me ask you, do you see any unintended consequences or any way that a judge or a court can deem that if we're passing one ordinance, one LDR, that they can view that as being harmful to our position?
We'd have to look at that, Commissioner. It is possible, but you know, we'll think through it if there's the will of the body to proceed.
I mean, I'm just wondering if we
have a clear rationale for what we're doing, right? Alcohol hours are regulated in the general ordinances, and that's in Chapter 6. And if you want to do a citywide, then that's our strongest position. If we are dealing with some court opinion saying that if you have a geographic area, that somehow converts the alcohol hours legislation into zoning legislation, so we're accommodating the court's concerns. But we'll think that through in terms of you know whether there's an unintended consequence if the body desires to proceed.
Okay, thank you. When you say think it through, I assume you mean between first and second reading if it passes?
One of these would require a referral, and it would go to planning, and so by the time it comes back, we'll be ready.
All right, thank you.
Commissioner Fernandez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I'm grateful to my colleagues for their thoughtful comments, and certainly their very important comments. Last year, weekend number four. We can't point to weekend number four as a reason why not to do this for next year, because the actions taken on weekend number four were last-minute actions. The whole point why we're having this meeting is because we had a meeting back in March or April, and we started discussing this because the whole point was that we wanted to send a message early on to the businesses, early on to the community, that we want to take strong, bold action to curb the situation that we encounter with spring break during the month of March, so that we don't wait until after chaos erupts on the second and third weekend to then take an action on the fourth weekend when the action is not needed on the fourth weekend. It only made sense. It makes sense. It is the responsible legislative matter to take up now. It is what is the most proper and the benefit of the public that we represent to be considering this now, not because of the state, but because we want to send proper messaging to everyone who we represent, not just the residents, but including the taxpaying businesses of our community, so that they can staff properly, so that they can market properly, so that they can make sure that they have the proper inventory way in advance. So I believe that it is 100% correct for us to consider this now, notwithstanding the fact that there could potentially be a new city commission, because when I was a new city commissioner a year and a half ago, I inherited decisions from a past commission. And a lot of those decisions I didn't like. But I still respect the prerogative of that elected body that at one point made those decisions. And so I don't think it's a good thing for us to say that, you know, a new city commission should be overturning the policies of a past commission, because we're asked to do that all the time, but we respect the wisdom of the legislative body that did that, including some of my colleagues that still sit at this table with me here today. I strongly feel that we owe it to our community, but I need to know a clear recommendation from our city administration. What is the recommendation of our city administration regarding the policies on the rollback of alcohol hours? Does the administration have a recommendation or a request from us today?
Commissioner, specifically to that question, what the commission has already done immediately after March, on March 27th, actually, the commission has already approved a resolution that is certainly much more draconian than a rollback of alcohol till midnight. It's a resolution that actually instructs the city manager specifically to impose a curfew, and to impose a curfew not just for 2 weekends and only encompass the 2 weekends, but to impose the curfew for potentially close to a week and a half, potentially up to 42 days. That resolution specifically is very difficult to message, because we all know and we all recognize that no city manager, whoever the city manager is that's sitting here, is going to be able to do that unless that city manager can meet the criteria and the threshold of a state of emergency. So our recommendation as it relates to these two options, and quite frankly, it's a policy matter, whether it's citywide or whether it's, you know, south of 23rd Street. What do we know? We know as an administration that we have a problem, that there is a business model in this city that attracts a crowd that doesn't go to the clubs, because they don't go to the clubs. They hang out in our streets, but they are looking for the sexiness of our city. They're looking for the glitz of our city. They're looking for that image of our city, and it is our clubs, it is our bars, it is our restaurants, it's our beautiful beaches, it's everything that every person comes to our city for. That's why they come, and they don't go to the clubs, they hang out on our streets with alcohol, with drugs, and they have a good time. And so whether if we do it south of 23rd Street, that helps us, and that's something that we can message. But you, as a body, have directed us to message a curfew that we don't know that we're going to be legally able to impose.
And Madam Manager, thank you for that. And Mr. Attorney, when we provided that directive to the city administration, it was under a resolution that I would imagine that you signed off as being proper and in legal form.
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Attorney, was that based on historical data, the fact that we were requesting our city administration to be ready to act on a state of an emergency, was that based on historical data?
Yes.
And Mr. Chief, that historical data, what does the historical data tell us about the emergencies that our community has experienced when we compare year after year?
Broadly speaking, Mr. Commissioner, the data says that we arrest a lot of people during spring break all 4 weeks of the
shootings. So do we have recurring shootings?
We do. Two this past spring break, where we had two homicides.
Okay. And I know from anecdotal, from data, from information that the businesses have given me, is that year after year, they're choosing to close. They're choosing to close because not only is it not worth them being open, but their employees don't feel safe themselves. And so I feel that it's having heard from the city manager, it's only proper that we provide them with some direction with this today. And I also have to say, I don't think it's comparing the situation that we're experiencing, imposing preemptively a curfew through direction to the city administration now, or a rollback on alcohol sales, comparing that to COVID, I think it is very different, tremendously different situations. At the time of COVID, we had people that were stuck at home, that were eager to get out, that we were the driving destination that people could get to. The people were getting checks from the government. I mean, people talk about it here, and they had, you know, money just to come down here and flood our streets. And so the dynamics of what made us attractive during COVID is very different than the emergency that we are facing today, and that the end of the unsafe situation we are exposing our residents, our businesses, and our police officers to. And so I'll just say I think we need to legislate, not concerned about what a future commission does. Certainly a future commission can have that prerogative, but we owe it to our city administration to start messaging. The key here is the messaging. It's why we started speaking about it in March. It's why we continue speaking about it in April. And when our commission was not on the same page in April, I suggested we have this meeting so that hopefully we could find common ground and provide direction to our city administration. But the key here is to message, and to message as well, that establishments that provide alcohol sales past midnight, they're not going to be doing that, because it changes the market that comes here. It changes the audience that you are appealing. When you have these promotions that are promoting events past midnight where they're serving alcohol, Chief, have we seen an issue with those events where there are promotions taking place that attract any crowds or any issue with violence or even gun violence?
Yeah, but that's typical of those type of crowds at clubs and bars during spring break. Oftentimes we have promoters who have a large following, tens of thousands of people in some cases. And those people follow them all around the country to attend their promoted events. And, yeah, we do see issues with those events.
Okay. All right. I respect all my colleagues, and I understand where they're coming from. I just think it is important just to send a clear and a concise message that we truly are shutting the door on spring break, but we need to provide the city administration with the proper policy to package that message with. And I see these policies as a key part of that. And I'm going to be supporting it today. And I want to echo the words of Commissioner Minor. Commissioner Minor, you are so on point. I am with you 100% on this issue. Thank you for your very eloquent statements.
Okay. We're going to try to get you want to be heard again? Sure, go ahead.
Just to try to convince my colleagues to maybe take a different approach and a different solution. We're talking about, you know, rollback of alcohol hours. I've made my position that I'm not going to support it, and I've stated why. But, you know, look, put some things in context. We have made progress, at least if you look at just, you know, the most recent years. When I first became a commissioner, Memorial Day weekend was, you know, a spring break weekend, and over the last 7-8 years, through a lot of collaborative work, programming, great protocols implemented by our police department, our city manager, we don't have a Memorial Day problem like we used to, thank goodness. And you know, our spring break problem is now whittling down to perhaps just one weekend. It used to be much larger during March. You know, that said, you know, I like to look at, you know, evidence. The evidence to me is very clear. The rollback of alcohol hours did not make a difference during COVID, and I think we can't dismiss that. The people that come here don't go to our nightclubs, don't go to our bars. And for the most part, we don't have the problems inside these establishments. These are folks who like partying in the street. They like cruising around. They like bringing their own alcohol and or drugs, and they party in our streets. So why are we going to penalize businesses that have very little to do with the problem? And I don't think it's going to solve the problem, okay? It might even make it worse because you're pushing it out more and more out into the streets. So then I ask myself, okay, you know, where is the problem happening? In the past couple of years, it has largely focused on Ocean Drive. So, you know, I know we have a lot of police resources there. And if you look at, you know, when we've had instances, you know, the tragedies that we've seen, I mean, the police response time is, you know, you can't be faster to the scene. But, you know, why aren't we doing things to, you know, make it harder for these folks to cruise, make it harder for them to park and get down? Because a lot of the incidents that we've seen are not even spring breakers. They're people who came in from across the bay. They drove in. So, you know, closing the parking garages, putting in the loops, just making it harder and harder for these people that aren't actually spring breakers to even be here. I think that is a more, you know, intelligent use of our resources. And then, you know, what I've said in the past, if the problem is largely contained around the Ocean Drive, how do we make it safe for our residents and guests? And so, although we're not really talking about it right now, but, you know, why aren't we exploring further the metal detectors to enter that area and take guns out of the Ocean Drive district? And that begs the question of, you know, what kind of programming do we need to have in order to justify, you know, closing down and barricading that area so that we have metal detectors to get through. If you want to go party, hang out on Ocean Drive, go to restaurants or anything, so our patrons and guests know that they're safe, that there's no guns in that area. Like, that to me is a more fruitful discussion than rolling back things to 2 a.m. or midnight thinking that that's going to solve the problem. I don't think that's going to solve the problem.
Okay, let me just say something on this, because I'd like to get – we have other items, including the perimeter issue. So just to be clear, I support a rollback to 2 a.m. south of 23rd. I support a rollback to 2 a.m. I got it.
The recommendation citywide, is midnight.
I got it. I support a rollback to midnight south of 23rd. I support a rollback citywide 23rd. I support a rollback to 2 a.m. for these 8 days. I support a rollback every day of the year. Okay. I have a different vision of the city than a lot of my colleagues. I don't think we need to be a hard-drinking business model, a city that has a business model of all-night activity. I just don't. I know my colleague and I, we agree on so many things, and he's been a wonderful ally on moving towards art and culture. He's worried about becoming Sarasota. I go to Coconut Grove. It's not Sarasota. It rolled back. It had terrible evenings there a decade ago. It rolled back to 3 a.m. It's a very nice work, play, entertainment area, but it's not anything close to ours in terms of its ferocity. So for me, this has become a sort of simple issue. We have tried, since I've been mayor, I've listened to all my colleagues. We didn't have anything for a while. Then we went with programming. We any kind of rollback is fought as if somehow not allowing a business to serve liquor all night long is some great imposition. Nobody has a right to do that. Most cities are not 5 a.m. cities. Most are not. And the idea that we have to be in order to be Miami Beach doesn't make any sense to me, because we have come so far that I think, frankly, if we said 2 a.m. citywide all year long, we would be just fine. We wouldn't lose a golden goose. We'd simply be a city that's a little bit calmer, a little bit more sophisticated, a little bit more cultural, and not a city that has people walking around with guns looking to use them. Now, we have had a spring break now where people get shot and die. We've had spring breaks where people just get shot. People do not feel safe on Ocean Drive or in the entertainment district during spring break. It's that simple. And the idea that we have to just flood it with cops or do other things, do you understand the danger to our community, to our police officers, when we say the best way we're going to deal with this is by putting cops into arm-to-arm combat with people who come to our city with guns? Now, the reason you go back to noon to midnight now, as opposed to waiting for another commission to do it on the eve of spring break, is it lets all the folks that organize Eventbrite events know that they don't want to organize an Eventbrite event in South Beach, because the takeover parties, which is what we get literally things that are promoted that say, take over Miami Beach, no rules. They even advertise underage drinking. Our cops go out there and do an amazing job, but it doesn't matter, because there's just 50, 60,000 people in our streets, many of whom have guns, many of whom get drunk, many of them are high, many of them make terrible decisions, many of them make criminal decisions. I mean, if you look at the 2022 stats for the major crimes citywide all year long, south north of of 63rd Street, there were 985 arrests. Between Dade Boulevard and 63rd, there were 1,300 arrests. South of Dade Boulevard, there were 5,200 arrests. And in just 5th to 15th Street and Ocean Collins in Washington, there were almost 2,000 arrests. This is a magnet for bad activity. Mm-hmm. So let's just cut it out. I don't know why our... I mean, the idea that to this day, people don't feel safe really going to Ocean Drive at night, other than, of course, the area that the promenade area. That should be an example for us, by the way. Ocean Drive Association last year said they wanted a 2 a.m. rollback. They wanted a 2 a.m. rollback. Year long. We are talking about 2 weekends and 5 days. That is what we're talking about. Nobody is going to go out of business. I don't want to hear from Mangos that they're going out of business because their Orlando Mangos has a 12 o'clock or 2 o'clock closing every day of the year. We have created this model, this business model, and we have fueled it and act like it's the only way we can have a economy. And it's just not true. So as a resident of this city my entire life, I want to put a stake through spring break. I want to be able to tell people today that if you're coming here for a wild weekend, which is why people come to our city, do not come that week on either weekend because you're not going to have a wild time. And by the way, one of the advantages of a rollback to midnight is it really does quiet everything down after midnight, and it gives our cops a little more chance to really police instead of putting them on these Alpha Brava shifts where they really are tired, they're policing an impossible scenario. It's impossible. I was sitting at with the manager. We were sitting at the News Cafe in the middle of this last year, and it was like a Tinder, and we just sat there and said, "God, I hope nothing happens." We said that almost every second because at any second something could have happened. And now with this new wisdom of the legislature that we've got. Everybody's going to have a gun and doesn't have to have a permit and it can carry a concealed weapon. I don't know what's going to happen. And all these other solutions. Oh, let's put the, we're going to talk about the perimeter. I don't know how the perimeter is going to work because you're going to see it's got huge mechanical issues and structural issues. I don't know how we legally can do it. And I don't know if without an event we can do it legally. And we're going to talk about that. But this is sort of, we need to do this. We do not need spring break. No city in Florida has kept spring break. Not a single city, even the ones, and most of them promoted it before they got rid of it. Think about that. Fort Lauderdale started spring break. They wanted it. They wanted everybody coming down. And as soon as they had it, they rolled back everything. They did everything they could to get rid of it. Daytona Beach, the same thing. Panama City implemented a lot of the things, apparently a lot of you don't want to do right now because it became so chaotic that they just said, this is horrible. We've got to just stop it. No city in Florida that has a spring break, wants a spring break. Yeah. I'll get you. So, look, I don't know. The purpose of this meeting was to let everybody know where we stand. It looks like I will support any rollback of any time for any amount of days and hours, anywhere in the city, all the time. I don't care. This is my city, like it's your city, and I'm tired of my city having areas of the city that I don't feel comfortable going to. That's just simply outrageous, and I don't think any business model warrants that. So I'm ready to do anything. You're ready to do anything?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm ready to explore all this because I'll tell you this. In 2019, zero shootings with contact. In 2020, went up to one shooting with contact. And then in 2021, it went up to three shootings with contact. And ever since then, 2022, three shootings with contact. In 2023, three shootings with contact. Those contacts are people getting injured in our streets.
So I need to know. There are two options. We're going to take a call. I'm going to get to you, Commissioner Dominguez. Right now, there's a rollback to midnight for apparently 9 days. We're not voting on it other than that someone's going to come back with the legislation. We need to do it either south of 23rd in an LDR and citywide in an ordinance. The reason why I support both is I'm not sure which is going to carry the day with the courts. So I'd like to have two possibilities. And it's only 9 days. And so what do you support? I just want to know.
I am strongly supporting citywide. You know what? If the courts rule against us the way that the other judge, I don't remember her name, ruled against us, then let the voters hold them accountable. But I am going to legislate for what I know is right. I don't think it's right to treat our communities differently. I don't think it's right to do something that could potentially, unintentionally, move the problem somewhere else in our city. And quite frankly, we as a city need to bite the bullet to prevent a bullet. And I'm ready to do it citywide.
Okay, so you're citywide, but you wouldn't support simultaneously doing it. Okay.
The judges serve the same residents and taxpayers that we serve. And I just okay. I'm not going to be legislative out of the fear of the courts. No, what is right is to do this citywide. And I'm not going to legislate and take actions because of the courts. No, what is right is to say Miami Beach is shutting the door on spring break, whether you're in South Beach, Mid Beach, North Beach. We don't want the mess and the chaos that has taken over our streets.
Okay, Commissioner, I'm trying to get a sense because I'm going to suggest that they prepare an ordinance, but I'd like to, we should have a sense of it.
Just a question. How did you calculate 9 days?
5 days and then 2 weekends. Is that what you guys were thinking about?
Counted 11 days.
Yeah, give or take. So 2 weekends and a day's leaving.
Yeah, well, whatever it is, whatever they recommend, I'm going to assume that they're going to come back with a recommendation.
Yeah, I'm supportive. Of
citywide. Now, remember, the citywide is an ordinance which may be subject, well, it might not be if we do it by October. The local one is the LDR, which the court said we needed to do. So, Commissioner Fernandez, the reason I had both is that one of them, if we did it, no court has said we can't do it. The ordinance we've had problems with. So I actually
think the landscape has changed with the courts. I my own take, everyone's talking about almost, it almost sounds like we're assuming failure. I actually have the opposite take. I think we very highly likely would prevail in court. And you see the sentiment has changed because it's one thing when it happens once or twice. When it happens year after year, I think the courts have recognized the last couple of decisions in the last couple of years, we've prevailed because they're seeing that there's a major problem. People are getting, again, I don't want to overstate it, our city is relatively safe. I say relatively. There's a lot of improvement always that we need to be doing. But those 2 weekends out of the year is pandemonium. It's chaos. It's worldwide news, literally internationally. Thank you. It is embarrassing. It's also bad for our brand. Like, how does anybody think that this is good for us? I guarantee it. The hotel rates are skyrocket, but this does not help us. I mean, when you're getting texts, we all got them, I'm sure. I have friends and family throughout the world texting me saying, are you safe? Is everything okay? And obviously we know that it's a very, very concentrated area, literally two blocks. But in my opinion, the sentiment has changed in the judiciary. And I'd be actually surprised if we lose in the courts. But I said it this last year, and I'll say it again. Any judge who, and sometimes I understand if we get sued, they read these transcripts. They get sent these transcripts. So I will say it so the judge hears it. Any judge who rules on this case must come down to Ocean Drive, as all of us have, and stand there in the middle and see what it's like, see what our residents have to face, see what our officers have to face. It is not a good situation. It's unfathomable that we would even contemplate continuing along this path to something that we know is a combustible situation. I mean, I almost look at it, I mean, it's sad enough. And by the way, I said this last year. Let's not lose sight. You know, sometimes people say, well, this person had a criminal record, honestly, I don't – that when we get – and you know I'm as tough on crime as they come. But when you talk about somebody who shot in our street, I don't look at what their past was. That is a human being who is in our city who is now dead, possibly because we did not take enough corrective measures. I take that personally. It makes me sad. It really hurts me that somebody is no longer alive in our city, and I don't look at their past. It's irrelevant to me. And I am going to take the actions that we need to take to keep everyone safe, including those individuals who lost their life, and of course our residents. Our residents should feel safe to go out on Ocean Drive any night of the year, 24/7, 365 days a year. And if there's a situation where it's not safe, I am going to take measures, and I'm glad that the mayor and Commissioner Fernandez, likewise, I'm going to take every measure I can to make sure that it is safe for our residents to walk out on that street. And the moment it's not, I'm gonna propose and support any legislation to make that safe for them.
Okay. So just I'm keeping my count. We've got three citywide. Are you for – I just want to get a sense.
Yes.
You're for both?
Yes.
Okay. So we got two. Okay. Commissioner Earle, you're down on both. Commissioner Dominguez, you're recognized not only to tell us how you might vote, but to tell us whatever else you want.
Thank you. Spring break is a huge problem, and we need to get rid of it. The problem is happening on Ocean Drive. What worries me is that we're looking to have a blanket penalize everybody, and it's not fair. It's not fair to those businesses in North Beach and Mid Beach that are not in the news and are not having any problems. The only thing that I would be able to support today would be something that does not include Collins Park, would be south.
So you're talking about south of 23rd?
So it would have to be 22nd or Lincoln Road South.
Okay, so you don't want to include Collins Park.
Right. Ray Breslin is happy having Sweet Liberty and his area as is.
Okay. Commissioner Richardson, you're down on both? Or I don't want, or I, maybe not. I don't know.
Well, your speech was so passionate. but again, it's not going to solve the problem. And I go back, Alina, to your comment where you talked about the spring break attracts a crowd because of the glitz and all this other stuff. But as you just said, the problem's not happening inside the club. And as Commissioner Arriola said, closing them may put even more people on the street at the same time. So that's not going to help the police situation. Now, I know that you're looking at potentially the Alpha Bravo. I would totally support that. And this isn't a budget meeting, but I know you all got the LTC. The actual numbers came in. We're up about $3 million. I would propose putting $3 million into a special fund, and I'm going to introduce that now, and we can talk about it more on the 21st. I would put $3 million of that. That's an extra $3.5 million we're going to get. I will put $3 million in a fund to fund what needs to be done for spring break of 24. If there's a change, some people want to do programming, some people do not. I know there's going to be a cost associated with Alpha Bravo. It could be over $1 million. I think you have to work on what that number would be, but I would be totally supportive of that. I want to give the police all the resources they need. If I thought closing the clubs earlier would protect the residents in any way, I would support it. But we are not solving the problem. The problem is people are on the streets bringing their own alcohol. If you want to close the package stores like I supported for the fourth weekend, look, I will do that today. What do you want to do? You want to do that? You want to close them at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? I will do that because that's contributing more to the problem than someone having a cocktail in a club at 2 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, Mayor, I know that you been very supportive of arts and culture, and I am too, and I think we're all, but I think we can do everything in this city. We don't have to be one or the other. We can be a place where people come to enjoy a good time, even at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning if they want to have a cocktail, and we can be a place where people can come and visit our beautiful museums. And if I thought for 1 minute that curtailing alcohol sales in a club at 2 o'clock in the morning was going to change the situation, I would support it. But it's not. And I'm not going to punish a lot of innocent people just because it would be good messaging. And all the other these other things that we want to do with canine dogs, and I don't know that you can just walk down the street with a canine dog. I would check, have the lawyers check on that. Metal detectors, you can't just put a fence around the entire city and make everyone go through a metal detector. As Commissioner Arriola, I think, artfully said, you have to have an event. You have to have something where they're going into an area for an event, whether it's ticketed or unticketed, it's paid, unpaid. But then you can. And then you have Ocean Drive, and you have all these businesses. Are you going to make someone go through a metal detector to get into their hotel? Again, I don't know that that's legal. But I'm not going to support rolling back alcohol hours today when I don't even know what the situation is going to look like in March. I'm not buying that it's going to help the situation at all. I want to put $3 million aside, so dedicated to spring break or any other rainy day activity that may be needed in the city, and not allocate all that money. And we'll talk about more of that on the 21st. And I'm prepared today to roll back alcohol package stores and alcohol, however you'd propose I would entertain.
Okay, just to recap, we've got three who will do citywide, one who will do regionally south of Lincoln Road, two that will do anywhere at any time, any place.
Point of information, Mr. Mayor.
And we have one who's absent, who couldn't be here because of health. So the only reason I'm saying this is that we're not going to vote because we don't have a majority here. But what I on this issue, so what we'll do is we'll have to move on. Commissioner Fernandez, you recognize.
I need to understand. So if we look regionally south of Lincoln Road, how are we determining that? Are we determining south of Lincoln Road because it's outside of the area of where one business is at, so now we're carving out the city? Is that what we're doing?
If you're
legislating public policy based on the benefits of the enterprise benefits of one individual over the life of an innocent person getting shot and killed in our city? Is that what we're doing?
I'll clarify.
You recognize for a response if the question
you.
Was asked.
Thank
to you.
Thank you. So there were two options. One of them was south of 23rd Street. So I'm just changing the street.
Okay. So I just.
You're recognized.
Okay. I need to understand. Mr. Attorney, what is the process for determining an area, geographic area? Do you pull out a map and drop a pin and say, "Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, 23rd Street," and it's that?
So the proposed geographic area south of 23rd Street mirrors the geographic area that we adopted for the last two curfews as part of the state of emergency, and that area was determined by the city manager in consultation and based on the advice of the police chief. Particularly, we're looking at when you're looking at the shifting of crowds and congregating. We wanted to get to cover south of Fifth Area and South Point Park. Wanted to cover Lincoln Road. Wanted to cover the Collins Park open areas. And so that's what initially brought about that geographic area.
And it was based on the fact that these were areas with challenges. These were areas where we were facing overcrowding. We were facing public safety situations. That's how that geography was determined. It was not based on which establishment was there or not, but it was based on that.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay. And since the time that geography was established, has it been determined that it may be worthwhile to reduce the scope of that geography, move the boundary, because there's no longer those issues between 23rd and Lincoln Road. So now it's fine just to do, Lincoln Road South. Have we determined that we no longer have those challenges in that area between Lincoln Road and 23rd Street?
Commissioner, quite the contrary. Actually, what we've tried to do is to establish consistency. And so what you see in the recommendation for the high-impact ordinance is a redefinition of the zone. And we're trying again, and I think it's important to establish, even for purposes of the courts, that zone as a defined zone. So we've done that for the recommendation in the high-impact zone, and we've done it 2 years in a row for purposes of a curfew, and we did it again as part of the proposed recommendation for the rollback.
What do the calls for service tell us in the area south of 23rd Street, as opposed to, looking south of Lincoln Road? What do calls for service tell us?
So, Commissioner, I don't have the calls for service for that area in front of me, but I can probably get that to you in a day or so. What I would tell you, though, and all the cops who work the area experience this, when the packaged liquor stores, for instance, are closed south of Lincoln Road or south of 16th Street, people just walk a few blocks north and patronize the liquor stores that are still open. That in and of itself causes a lot of problems in those liquor stores on the sidewalks, adjacent to them, in the streets, adjacent to the sidewalks, because cars stop to get out to go buy their booze, blocking your traffic. And so there's a huge concern for us keeping those liquor stores open south of Lincoln Road,
I just,
23rd Street.
I think it's very – like I see Troy Wright sitting here. I think it's very unfair for me to say, okay, if you're north of 23rd Street, you're fine, but if you're Washington Avenue, you're not fine. You can't be open on Washington Avenue. I don't know how I tell him to go back to his businesses and tell him, you know, if your business had the foresight to be north of Lincoln Road, you can make money this weekend. But since your businesses chose to be south of Lincoln, I think it's unfair. I can't tell him to go back to his businesses and tell them, you know, that they now are going to be treated unfairly when this is a problem we own as a city. When we have to police 23rd Street, I don't care what anyone tells me, we're taking services away from other parts of the city as well. We have a shared responsibility in this. And Commissioner Dominguez, I understand your concerns and listening to the residents of the area, and I applaud you for that, because I understand that the residents of that area want to support the businesses there. But I do think that this is a shared responsibility we have as a community, and I think if we're going to force one area of our community closed, it's only fair that we share in this responsibility, and we take it on as a city, and we also send clear messaging with it. So, I'm not going to support regional, and I'm not going to support south of 23rd Street. I'm only going to support something that is citywide, that is a shared responsibility.
Okay. Listen, I think we've got a sense of the commission in a sense that there's three that support citywide, three that don't support citywide, and one unknown. So I'll ask that if you could prepare something for the commission meeting that would allow us to get it in before October. Citywide, we'll see if we can get four votes. If not, we will see what happens. So we're going to move on since there's no vote on.
Comment, Mayor. Just
yeah.
So we could do that and bring an ordinance for first reading on citywide. If that timeline mattered, and I do think it matters, would you? We could bring a referral in July. You know, and see if there's support at that time for south of 23rd or any other area.
Look, any member can do it.
We would not be able to get that done by September. That'll be later. But in that case, it's an LDR amendment, and the law doesn't apply.
I would ask that you prepare that anyway, even if there's not support for it. Plenty of us have brought in stuff that has not been supported by the majority, and there's no reason not to. So I would ask that you do that. If any of my colleagues want to support it, I'll bring it up, or they can bring it up. Okay, we got to get to the rest of the
Mayor, could I just ask if there's any appetite to have the conversation about package stores, or should I just bring an item and see if there are votes for it?
Yeah, you can bring an item. I'll support anything you do on that. So if you want to do it, it's not on the agenda, and we spent a heck of a lot of time, but I think you could expect some level of support, and I think you should do it. I'd urge you to do it. All right, let's get through this. The next one is we just did R9B. Let's pull up R9A, R7B,
Mr. Mayor,
R9F.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, I just want to. I have spoken in the past with the city attorney to Commissioner Richardson's point about package liquor sales. As I share your sentiment on that. A lot of our problem is also liquor that's bought here in the city. I've spoken with the city attorney about it, and I haven't brought it for a reason. I'd encourage you to speak with him and confer with him, because there are some concerns. Thank you.
Okay. I mean, look, the purpose, and for people who don't understand why we're doing this, we're not allowed to talk to each other outside of a meeting, so sometimes it's public records law, so we have to talk to each other in a meeting, and this is an opportunity for members to speak directly to each other, and I appreciate it, because you guys are really you're very collegial, and this is thoughtful. All right, let's see what happens, though, at the next meeting, I guess. Let's move to those three items, R9A, R7B, R9F.
R7B is suspend special events second and third weeks of spring break. That's R7B. R9A is discuss and provide update regarding March 2024 spring break. And R9F is discuss moratorium on issuance of special events permits. So R7B, R9A, R9F.
So the reason I put them together is I believe Commissioner Minor, his fencing, the fencing in is encapsulated within R9A, and the two other items are special events that Commissioner Fernandez has focused on, and there is actually a linkage to the two, because the lawyer at least told me in our meeting that it would be difficult to fence something in without a special event. So I'm going to first let Commissioner Minor do his thing, and then we're going to turn to Commissioner Fernandez to talk about his issues, and we'll get a sense of the commission if that's possible to extract. Go ahead, Commissioner Minor.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to get into that in a minute, but I did want to comment, because when we talk about Ocean Drive in the second and third week, I think it's really important that we also look at year-round, that we the enforcement, especially in South Beach and Ocean Drive, be vigorous. I don't know any other words. That's why, for example, I have an item to bring our own drug testing lab here, because one of the problems we're having is our police make arrests and the drugs don't get tested, whether it's because it's marijuana and the county won't test it, or because if it's not a large enough quantity, that's trafficking, they're short-staffed. It's hard to believe that we're in a system where the police are making a certain arrest, and I give the police a hard time too that they need to make more arrests if there's drug sales happening. So, but when they do make the arrests, it's often a turnstile. The cases are not even being prosecuted. So we need to address this on a year-round level as well. But getting back to specifics I think some of the arguments I'm hearing, I think, are distractions. One, you absolutely can have a secured perimeter. It is absolutely legal as long as you have some type of, I'm not even going to call it an event, an exhibit is what I want to call it. And I mentioned this the last time. First of all, I could go on and on. Tortuga Music Festival, Ultra Music. I mean, these are high-end. Those are obviously events. They close off a pretty large perimeter, maybe not as large as Ocean Drive, but it is absolutely legally doable, defensible. I've had multiple meetings with our city attorney. Zero question in my mind is absolutely legal and can be done, and it is done all across the country, including in the state of Florida. Secondly, to me, it doesn't even have to be that fancy. First of all, thank you, Alina, last time I guess we had gotten a very quick estimate. I know you were doing it under time crunch, and we had this 8 million number. I know Commissioner Arriola and I thought that was quite high, and I think you've come up with a number now, 2.9 to 3 million, which actually seems pretty reasonable, especially if we're not spending the money on the events that we had in the past. I think we're moving on from that. But, and I mentioned this the last time, I'm not wedded to this specific idea, but you could literally put up easels with artwork beyond the perimeter, just some kind of event. You could put in old pictures of Miami Beach. You could have artists come and present. I'm sure there are many, many artists who would volunteer to put their artwork out there. It would be beautiful. That's all you have to do. And then you have a legitimate reason. You have a private vendor who somehow manages the perimeter, and you have your reason, and you have, and I'll ask Raphael, I mean, is that legally defensible?
To have a private event and create
I'm calling it an exhibit, not an event, but you're having something beyond, whether it be artwork or what have you, run by a private vendor.
So we, Commissioner, have said multiple times that creating an event site and turning that over to a private event organizer to put on an event, a ticketed event, is something that you can do, and the organizer could have appropriate security measures, wanding, whatever they feel is necessary.
Correct. Thank you. I know you've said it multiple times to me privately. You said it multiple times here publicly, but I didn't want anybody to take my word for it. You just said it as clear as possibly can be. And that's really all I'm saying that we need to do. I'm going to echo Commissioner Fernandez's statement. We need to message that early and often, that's what we're doing, that your guns are going to be confiscated, the drugs are going to be at risk, because one, you have to go through metal detector if there are canines, and that's a separate issue. Commissioner Richardson, we can deal with that as well. But by the way, I have multiple pictures on my phone. I'm not going to take the time to show you now, but if you looked at the Tortuga Music Festival, it's only, 30 miles from here? I mean, there were canines all over the place there at Tortuga. They're there. And honestly, they're pretty passive. They had canines at the Air and Sea Show a couple of years ago. I remember. I mean, as a commissioner, I get fortunate that I get to go through the side. I'll admit that's one of the advantages of being a commissioner. But there were dogs there. I think they might have been sniffing for COVID at the time. But But absolutely, they're out there, and it's doable, and it's done. It's not even just doable. These are things that are done at major events to keep the perimeters secure. So I'm going to continue advocating for that. But again, it's one of many measures. Like, we talked about the alcohol hours for at length, secured perimeters, but it's also closing down the parking garages. You talked about, Alina, raising prices. I'm advocating even closing them down at an appropriate hour. It's the DUI checkpoints. It's having, the police presence is pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive, and even that doesn't always deter the behavior, because some of the shootings have taken place literally within a very short distance of the police. By the way, I'll also add, I often push the police pretty hard and certain things, but you know, those videos of spring break, I don't want to say spring break, second, third week of, when you see some of those videos, I've actually watched it a number of times, and I'm still amazed. When you hear the gunshots go off, and you see hundreds of people running one way, and you see officers running right toward the shots, I mean, that is incredible. That is incredible training. Just the mindset, the reaction would be to run the other way and to run right toward it and make arrests, and make appropriate arrests. But still, the point is, the visible police presence during that second and third week of March is not enough. There are police everywhere. I mean, county police, Miami Beach police, we had state police. It's everywhere. So it's going to take more than that to control this situation and shut it down. Secured perimeters, message early and often. And by the way, people will come enjoy. So right now, a lot of people don't want to come to Ocean Drive. We all do it because it's part of our jobs to be down there. So we do it, and we go down. I got to tell you, a couple of years ago when I was down with my wife, she wasn't very happy with me that I took her there for that period. She was really upset at me. But the point is, if we have a secured perimeter, people will come. People will come because they know that on the other side of that perimeter, it's very safe. It's actually going to be one of the safest places you can be, because you can't get through that secured perimeter with weapons or drugs, and there'll be something for them to view, artwork or whatever we decide, something that I think we could do fairly economically and create a nice environment for people to enjoy.
Okay, Commissioner Fernandez, you've got two items. Yeah. Commissioner Richardson, one, you want to speak to the one?
I want to react to that because, you know, I think we all know, you know, how to set up a secure perimeter and have canine dogs inside that and have metal detectors for an event. I don't dispute that one, but I'd like an example. If there's any place in the world that you've ever seen a secure perimeter that would require a hotel guest to go through a metal detector or be sniffed by a dog for the sole purpose of checking into their hotel. That's the difference here. One of the proposals that we have right here is for a perimeter at Ocean Court. That blocks off Ocean Drive. We know that's where people want to gather. So the only way to avoid having people gather is to cordon that off, have a secure perimeter. So then you're telling someone, you have to go through a metal detector to check into the Betsy Hotel. You're going to be sniffed by dogs if you want to go to a business, to a restaurant there. And I don't think that's appropriate. And I don't know of anywhere in the world where an event is set up where a secure perimeter locks out private businesses like that. Yes, there's secure perimeters for the Coconut Grove Art Festival, and we can do one in Loomis Park if we wanted to, that wouldn't include Ocean Drive and wouldn't cut off the businesses. But that wouldn't solve the problem, because the problem is people want to gather on Ocean Drive. That's where they want to be. So if you want to cordon off Ocean Drive, then now you're cordoning off all those private businesses. And so I would like, and I don't want to put you on the spot, Commissioner Minor. Maybe you don't have one. Maybe you'll bring an example at the next meeting. But just give me an example of one place in the world where you have a special event and you cordon off and you say to private businesses and hotels that you're going to be part of this special event, and we're going to require your customers to go through a metal detector into a secure perimeter area, even though they don't want to look at the exhibit. They don't want to see the easels with the artwork on it. They're just trying to check into their hotel.
You know, you've
Commissioner
done this,
Minor, you're recognized for a thing.
Commissioner Richard, thank you for the comments, but I will say you've done this to me a number of times in the last 4 years since we've both served together, where you literally argue a position I've never taken. You sit there and make an argument. I've actually never, ever promoted, articulated, or supported a secured perimeter where people would have to get into their hotels or any of the businesses. It would be set up somewhere on Ocean Drive, but it doesn't mean that a person who's in the hotel, now if the individual wanted to get probably into Lummis Park or beyond, yes, they would have to go through the perimeter. But I have never, ever said that I would support where individual businesses or a hotel would require someone to go through the secured perimeter.
Okay. Anything else on this topic? Because if not, we're going to move to Commissioner Fernandez's too. Mr. Fernandez, are they the same or a little different, or is it a topic area? Whatever you'd like to talk about.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The
floor is yours.
Okay. So with item R7B, you all will remember this item. I brought it to the City Commission, I believe, back in May, together with a few other items. And the whole idea, the whole reason why we deferred it to now and I asked for this meeting was to provide clear direction to the city administration. Commissioner Minor, your idea and your comments about providing a secured perimeter with some sort of ticketed event, I agree with that. But I do believe that whatever the ticketed event is has to be a very well-produced, high-caliber event. And I don't think that at this juncture where we're at today and the level of lack of unity that I'm seeing in right or I'm perceiving right now, and I might be wrong, but I'm just perceiving we're not all on the same page on the different issues, I don't think we're going to be able to expect our city administration to realistically have a producer to produce the caliber of event that would be necessary for something like this by March of next year. I really do think we need to be looking at this as a goal. I think that for 2025, we can certainly have that expectation for them. In the meantime, I really do think that we are depleting public resources, funds, and even resources like police and code enforcement with all these activities that we're having our city produce throughout Lummis Park, on the beach. It's just taking attention and resources to where they don't need to be, away from where they should be. And so with this item that I've brought in R7B, it would be suspending the development of any city-activated special events during the second and third weeks of March of 2024. It would endorse the use of that funding that would have been spent, for example, like the $3 million that Commissioner Richardson is mentioning, that's mentioned here as well, and redirect that for public safety purposes. And then, Commissioner Minor, to your point, is directing the city administration on focusing a quality, transformative, family-friendly event within a secured and controlled perimeter for 2025. I think if we create a secure perimeter, I think it's the way to go. But I think it has to be well done. It cannot be done on the cheap, and it cannot be done on the quick. It has to be something that is truly high quality, well promoted, so that the intended outcome is what we do receive. And that's what is presented in item R7B, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. I don't know if we're going to vote anything today.
Mayor, I'd like to react to that.
I will. I just want to make sure. This is for an airing. Are you expecting a vote?
Well, I think we're down one member. I think the city administration needs direction.
Okay.
I think we owe it to them because it's July, and soon it'll be August, and we'll be in recess. And March is not that far away. So I think we owe it to our professional staff and to the business community. I mean, Ceci is here, Troy is here, and I know a lot of them are watching as well. I think everyone in the community deserves to know what is it that we're planning for next year.
Okay, Commissioner Richardson, you're recognized.
Yeah, so you know, I'm supportive of a perimeter that would be a standalone that wouldn't affect our businesses. At least one of the
diagrams I saw in the slide deck has a perimeter that is at Ocean Court, which would block off Ocean Drive, which is, we know Ocean Drive is where everybody wants to hang out. So I'm looking at this, and that would necessitate people to go through a metal detector to get their hotel, and I don't think you can do that. But the problem is if you just put a perimeter around Loomis Park and have an event there, then you leave Ocean Drive open, would allow people to get access to their hotels and their restaurants. But then that's not going to solve the problem, because that's where people want to hang out, is on Ocean Drive. So I don't know if the administration wants to come back with a different recommendation, or but I would certainly entertain that. I will entertain what I proposed earlier, is taking $3 million, this extra money that came in from the real values that we just got. We're shoring up our budget right now and going through that. I would be supportive of putting $3 million, and we can talk about that more on the 21st, so that we have that for public safety purposes or whatever else we might need for our policemen and women. I will support that. And then the other question I have is, we passed something a few years ago related to special permits in clubs. What is it that we changed that for? Wasn't there something that we changed some requirement, either a notification or something on clubs having entertainment brought in, special entertainment on these weekends?
I think that's specific to the promoter ordinance, and it requires a notification that I believe is tied to 96 hours prior to an event.
That's right, and it's a notification to the police department of a promoted event, and that's all it is. It's a notice requirement.
And is that applicable to all business establishments or just clubs that rent out their space to third parties?
I believe it's specific to promoters, but I don't have the ordinance in front of me.
Yeah, I do, but I have to look.
And if we, I don't want to belabor and take too much time, I can spend time separately, but Rob, if you want to answer quickly.
It's any promoted event, whether it is promoted by an outside promoter or by an inside promoter. So any promoted event, if you're going, and by promotion, that means social media mainly. If you're going to put out social media ads or advertising for any event, you need to give the police 96 hours notice.
For an event at an alcoholic beverage establishment.
Correct. 96 hours before the event or 96 hours before you advertise it?
96 hours before the event.
Okay. I'll meet with you guys separately to talk about that, whether or not we want to make some tweaks to that that I might want to propose next month.
Mr. Mayor. Yeah, Commissioners, Mr. Fernandez is, I think, really almost on behalf of the administration, is trying to get us to give some direction to staff about whether we're going to be supporting this in the next budget cycle. Or actually in the next year. I'll let you speak, but I want to see if they want to speak. Is that what you're...
But my item, because I want to make it easier, because I do
go
know...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I know that the city administration needs direction. I think the issue of the perimeter could be perhaps a little bit, you know, needing a little bit more discussion. So on item R7B, I would like to amend my resolution by form of a motion. So I'm moving to amend my resolution to suspend city-activated events during the second and third week of March and to allocate additional funds for public safety as recommended by the city manager as part of the fiscal year 2024 budget. That way it incorporates as well the recommendation of Commissioner Richardson. But we're also suspending these city-activated events, which, in my opinion, they're not yielding the intended outcome. Is taking up public resources in terms of our employees and funding, and it's moving police presence from where we need them to be to policing these events. So I amend R7B as stated.
May I?
Yes, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mayor. So I would, for all intents and purposes, I understand where you're coming from, Commissioner. I would just say that there are some events that we probably want to do. For example, the volleyball. When was that, in the second weekend or was that in the first weekend?
We had volleyball multiple weekends, different tournaments, King of Courts, I believe, second weekend, AVP, third weekend, model volleyball, third weekend, collegiate volleyball, third weekend.
So, Commissioner Fernandez, I would ask you if you would amend it a little bit more to say, to not make it so certain, but to say to limit the number of activations, or because there are a couple of that we're going to want to do. I remember, for example, in, I know this is weekend number four, and you're talking about weekend number two and three, but weekend number four, there was a sports event that I think very much was a huge success, and we want to continue that. So I would say that I don't want to rule out any and all, but what I would say is for all intents and purposes, I would agree with you that spending $3 million to do that is not in the best way, but there may be some that we need to get a recommendation from the administration that there may be a limited number that we do want to support.
Thank you, Commissioner, and through the mayor, if I may.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I recall properly, Madam Manager, in your summary earlier, you mentioned that King and Queen of the Court, AVP, Miami Beach Open, and High Rocks were willing to come back to Miami Beach at any time, and that they were not necessarily only tied to those specific periods, but that they would be willing to, if it's not the second or third week, that they perhaps might be open to either some of the other weeks in March or perhaps even other months if necessary. Is that correct, Madam Manager?
They are interested. The one caveat is that we did incentivize them to come, and we did subsidize the construction of the court, and that continues to be the case. They would not come without the subsidy.
But those funds through the mayor, those funds would still exist. It's just, you know, instead of expending them in March or in the second or third week in March, we would just expend them at a different time in the fiscal year.
They currently don't exist.
Yeah,
they could exist, but they currently don't.
Right, nothing exists right now. In a spring break budget, nothing exists right now, but they could exist at a different point. So, Commissioner Richardson, I get where you're coming from, but I really do feel we have to be clear and consistent in our messaging. And I think we also owe it to our staff. I mean, I saw this staff, they were all over the place, you know, organizing, you know, a dozen events throughout the city. And then our police officers having to escort teams and our police officers having to man courts instead of having them on the west side of Ocean Drive where we need them to be, or instead of having them on Collins Avenue, or instead of having them on side streets in front of the packaged liquor stores. That's where we need our resources. I don't think we need the city producing special events during the second and third weeks of March. And so I would keep the motion like that.
Hold on. I'll let you speak quickly, then we got to get to Commissioner Dominguez because other people want to talk on this issue. So go ahead, Commissioner Richardson.
Just to say, Commissioner Fernandez, that the second and third, we wouldn't do city activations, and then you would take the money, the approximate $3 million, and just set it aside for potential public safety or other needs. So if that's your motion as amended, I'll second it.
Thank you. Commissioner Dominguez.
I would support the item as no events in the second and third weekend, the ones that were decided. I will say, being out there during spring break, the volleyball players and the event was beautiful, but the volleyball players were terrified. They were scared for their lives. They, even at night and walking around, before the shooting had even happened and the terrible, terrible thing that occurred. So I would say no activations. Another thing that I would suggest, since the volleyball is flexible on dates, and City Manager, we talked about this in my briefing, if we could look for an alternate area besides Ocean Drive, and this would be for the volleyball and for any events. There are certain hotels that are under renovation, construction. Maybe the beach in front of that area, like 18th or 20th, or where the polo takes place. Other areas besides the Ocean Drive area, so that the residents that actually live there aren't as impacted continuously as they are.
Okay. So I don't know that anybody's opposed to it at this point. Alina, do you, Commissioner, you recognize, then we'll go to the city staff.
Just have a question. So I, on your item, how are you handling the secured perimeter for 2024?
Okay. I, Commissioner Minor, I strongly believe that it's a great idea. In fact, in the audience, we have Andres Ancion, that for many years he's been communicating with all of us, whether in our capacities as elected officials or previously as just neighbors and residents, touting that same idea. I do not think that it's realistic that we're going to have for 2024, given the division that I'm sensing and perceiving at this day is right now, the type of event that will be necessary to really execute this in the way that we need in order for it to be effective and the outcome that we expect, that it not end up being a mess that explodes in our face. I really think if we do this, we really need to do it in a serious, deliberate manner where the city administration can thoughtfully and thoroughly reach out and find the best producer out there that is not produced by the city. And it's not the city hiring a producer, someone that's willing to come in, activate this space with something of quality that is promoted in the right way, that's organized in the right way. Again, I reiterate, it's July and we go into recess in August, and this is happening in March. And so I just, while I would love to see this happen in March of 2024, you know, and I think we will be proud to be able to say that we took that action, we took that vote. Realistically, I just don't think it'll be realistic or responsible to set that expectation today. I think it's more realistic. And Madam Manager, please guide me. I'd like to yield to you, if I may, please guide me and correct me if I'm wrong. Because I don't want to stop a good idea if it does have traction. I mean, do you feel you and your staff are able to pull something like this off? A couple of
points of clarification, and Commissioner Minor made reference to the $8 million number. I want to clarify again once and for all for the record that number was specific to a meeting that I had with the festival promoters and production company that implements the Coconut Grove Arts Festival. That was a direction that the commission gave me, and I had a very good meeting with them, talked about possibilities. They talked about actually a perimeter that goes to Collins Court because they had explored what opportunities there might be here. And it was a number that they used, you know, in reaction to my question of what it would take, you know, to produce something like this. So that number was not my number. That was their number. We, at the same time, and we were on parallel paths related to all of this, we actually had the company that secures Ultra come the week that they were here for Ultra and walk with police and with our special events team to actually give us this proposal. So that's why you have that here, and I wanted you to have the benefit of that. PJ, I'm hoping that you have those pictures from this past March of crowds. The city has, and I'd like for you to put those pictures because I think a refresher is always important because now we're in July, and I think we forget what the crowds, you know, what the crowds mean to us and to our police and to all the people in the streets. If you look at that picture, there's a fence. And part of the reason and part of the concept of why we implemented the volleyball and why we went to the beach and why we wanted the footprint and we wanted to create a secured area is because we wanted to displace the crowd and we wanted to control the crowd, and we were hoping that if we had enough activation and enough, it pushed the crowd that came onto the beach outside of the perimeter, and you know, this is Ocean Drive, this is not the beach. But I think one of the concerns that we have with a perimeter and an event is, you know, again, what does that look like? How is that defined? What production company is going to come and tell us that they can do this and it's a high-end event? We follow the direction of our commission, and we did do a request for information and for proposals. And we have right now five companies with all the parameters, Commissioner Minor, that you defined for us, including the perimeter. We have five companies that are waiting for us to meet with them and to have conversation about an event. But again, we haven't done that because there's been such conflicting information about programming, and there's been a clear conversation about not funding or subsidizing any programming. So this city does have a history of secured perimeter events. the South Beach Wine and Food is a secure event. The Air and Sea Show is a secure event. There are a multitude of events that we do on the beach all the time, just like Tortuga does Tortuga. We do events on our beach almost every weekend in the spring, and so we do have experience doing that. I think the concern is, and could you roll through all the pictures, PJ? I want everyone to, again, remember what the crowds look like. What ultimately, once you do that and once you secure the area, our police and many of us who, you know, are always right there in the middle of all of that, we worry that crowd will continue coming here. And where does that crowd go? Because that's every night, the second and third weekend, and sometimes a little spillover in the first and fourth. Where does that crowd go? And I really didn't want to have to use the images, but I feel like we're in July.
What is your recommendation? What is your informed with law enforcement? What do you think we should do?
At this point, I don't think that any of us feel comfortable recommending a secured perimeter on Ocean Drive specifically, because we have a very real concern about what that would do. And programming, we've tried everything. I mean, we really sincerely have with the best intentions. And we've done a combination of different things. And by the way, we went after the high, you know, the high-end event, the Goodwood Festival. We worked with our bureau who brought us that event. And we met with them for a year and a half to convince them. And we had, you know, we looked at diagrams. We were negotiating a contract. And we were notified by the festival promoters that they would not come here for all kinds of different reasons. But, you know, where as we speak right now, we're in conversations and still continuing to go after and look at different options and opportunities. And I think if we had that kind of an event with a perimeter, of course we would want that kind of an event with a ticketed event, $300 ticket, a $400 ticket, a $500 ticket, an event that will fund that kind of an activation. Yes, of course, we're completely open to hosting something like that, and we very much want to be a part of something like that. We don't have that option right now.
So before I call and recognize Commissioner Munner, just tell me your recommendation, though. I think we want to know what you think. You have the advantage of an entire police department, cultural affairs, all of our code. What do you recommend the commission do to, you know,
But can I just ask you a question? Because your question on the motion that's before us, on the item that's before us, on just the issue of fencing, what is the manager's recommendation on what specifically? Because we have a motion, we have an item, and we have the theme of the fence.
Commissioner Munner, but you just spoke. I want to hear on Commissioner Fernandez's motion.
Well, we support this motion, this ordinance. Okay,
Commissioner Munner.
Yeah, so basically, looking big picture to summarize, after 3 hours of conversation, and that's just today, 3.5 months after spring, the second and third week of March where we had the issues, I haven't seen, there's literally zero change. I haven't heard, there's zero change. We're going back into next March with nothing changed. And by the way, I mean, listen, the policymakers can disagree. Alina, you know, you and I have talked about this. We've met with the chief. I just disagree. I think the secured perimeter, I think the problem is, and you're also saying this, Commissioner Fernandez, you're looking at it as this very high-end ticket event. Yes, I agree. That cannot be done between now and March, but I have a much different take. I think the event should be free. I don't think that there should be any charge. It may not be the most perfect and most high-end, but it doesn't have to be. It could be something people can enjoy. By the way, people could just take a stroll down the beach. It's going to be beautiful, and it's going to be safe, and it's going to be secure, because to get through it, you're going to have to leave the guns at home and leave the drugs at home. So that's where I differ. It could be something very nice, very classy, very elegant. And, you know, we talk about arts and culture all the time. I'm actually promoting that here. I'm actually saying that's exactly what we should have. I think the arts community would love this. They will come out in full force. I see someone actually nodding their head and probably has some great ideas. And maybe
Michael
Cantalupo. Maybe we can chat afterwards and you can, you know, and we can brainstorm together. Actually, you'll probably tell me what should be done, and I'm happy to listen. That's what we should be doing. I think they would embrace it. The opportunity to have their to showcase the art world right in the middle of Ocean Drive, Lummis Park, our beach, and I think people would come. People would come because it would be free. And I'm not, and because I think the art world would actually embrace it and sort of, they're not coming in, they're not charging us millions of dollars like some concert, and then we can, you just ticket it. You just ticket, or maybe you don't even ticket, you just show up, and if you can get through the metal detector, you come in.
Okay.
By the way, let me just add also, and I mentioned this the last time, I have to reiterate. I know it's a much smaller footprint, but I had to say, I was literally chuckling when I'm at a seniors event. I mean, the average age was, I don't want to say the average age, but it was a seniors event. A seniors event at the Bandshell in North Beach. And every single person, including myself, was wanded as they walked in. I mean, picture the scene. Picture the scene. They're all coming in, and they're wanded. Nobody had guns on them. Nobody had drugs on them. But we did it. Now, obviously, this is a much larger footprint. But if we could do it for the Bandshell and take certain security measures for a few days out of the year, we can actually do it. And by the way, I mean, that fence, I'm not criticizing, but it probably didn't look – we could make this look nice too. It could be done, and other events have done it. We've done it. We've actually done it at times where it actually looks very nice. It doesn't even look that intrusive, but it's safe, and it works.
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, okay, let's finish up, and then we'll get to the last
one. I just want to restate my motion just so that everyone is clear about what's on the table. Before us, just for the benefit of the body, my motion to suspend the city activations during the second and third week of March next year, 2024, and to allocate additional funds for public safety as recommended by the city manager as part of her fiscal year 2024 budget. On my original resolution, it had $3 million, and if the suggestion from Commissioner Richardson is still there, I would still incorporate the $3 million into this. Leaving out of this any discussion as to whether we do or do not do for next year a secured perimeter, I'll let Commissioner Minor take the lead on that because you've been very passionate about that. But the motion before us is to suspend during that second and third weekends any city activations.
Okay, you had this as an action item. Are there any objections?
So I'll go ahead.
Just a quick question. Is it the second and third weekend? Because next year there are five weekends, and I think it would be the third and the fourth weekend that are the high impact.
Actually, the preliminary data that police reported to me, it was the second and third weekend that shows the highest volume of colleges on spring break.
And perhaps we can clarify the record with the dates.
March 8th through 17th.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so Mayor, I would just say on your motion, I would say rather than three, I'd say up to $3 million because my proposal would be to set aside $3 million, but we don't want to force it to be used if 100% of it is not to be used. I just want to set that aside and then
as amended.
So up to $3 million.
Okay, if it's not seconded, I'll second it. Is there objection?
I seconded it, but
Richardson seconded.
Just one question. So I just want to make clear, so I don't want to be inconsistent. So if I support your resolution, because I think I'm not precluding what I'm trying to accomplish. I mean, I mean, maybe I'll turn to our city attorney, because there have been some amendments to it, so I kind of like to see the final form so I can read it and see what I'm actually voting on.
So we could read it again, but I think that it would preclude what you're trying to accomplish for 24 unless this resolution, once adopted, you know, was amended. This would say no city-activated events from March 8th to the 17th.
But if an event that came forward and wanted to do an event here, let's say Ultra came. That's not a city event.
Exactly.
The Ultra is not a city of event. That is a private event. It's not Marsha and Lissette and the city manager's staff now having to dedicate, you know, staff time into organizing this event and, you know, having meetings for, you know, you know, it's not the same.
Then you're right. Then that would not.
And let me just say this: resolution. This is a four-vote
yes
commitment. So, Commissioner Minor, if at the next meeting, because we don't have an action item with you, if you bring up an action item and you work it through with the commission and we vote for it, then it's what we're doing. In other words, this wouldn't preclude us from deciding as a majority to do exactly what Commissioner Minor is anticipating with a 4-7 vote.
Yes.
Because I think, Commissioner Fernandez, we're actually on the same page because when you use the term event, that's not what I am proposing. Mine is, again, more like an exhibit.
Yeah, no, I think everybody understands that, but I think the point is 4-7 are needed to do anything. This is not something we're putting in the charter. We're going to vote now to just say, hey, we're not doing any of this stuff.
But
if next time you come in and at the next meeting and you fully bake this idea and it looks like we can and it's gone through whatever it needs to and we can say, okay, we're ready, 4-7 vote, we can do it. This doesn't preclude us from doing that.
I just, Mr. Mayor, if yeah. I may, all that I ask is I really do think that the commission needs to provide the city administration with very clear direction, and direction that we're now going to rescind. Direction that they know that the direction that they're going to get from us today
yeah.
is the direction, the policy direction that we give them as it relates to city events, city-produced events, that us going out proactively, investing public resources, that taxpayers' dollars and staff time into finding an event that's being produced on behalf of the city of Miami Beach, and that we're providing that direction, that we're not going to now wake up and the next meeting we're going to now, after we gave Alina this direction, that we're going to come back and say, well, you know, we now want to go in this different direction. I just want to make sure that we're very clear.
I don't think
clear.
There's any disagreement with that, well, right?
It's a shame because I really feel like we're on the same page, and I'm going to come up with a specific proposal because it sounds like I'm going to have to at this point. I'm going to have to do the legwork to show that we can accomplish this, really not expending a lot of city resources other than the perimeter. I think the perimeter, obviously, as Alina has given us these estimates, $2.93 million, yes, that we would have to expend that. But I think the exhibits that I'm talking about would not be I don't think it would cost a lot of money for us to do. So I feel like we're very close, but I can't support your item even though I want to, because I'm not going to preclude myself from bringing something forward. I'm not giving up on the script perimeter. By the way,
that's fine.
That's the irony, as we were talking about, Commissioner Richardson mentioned before, that's the irony of what we're talking about here, because in November, maybe I'll have the votes.
And Mr. Mayor, if I may, yep. I want to just ask the city attorney. If, let's say, MDPL, just throw out there an organization, or UNIDAD, or one of these other organizations from the community, come forward. History Miami, or the Adrian Arsht Center, come forward and say, okay, you all have this space. We want to come in and activate this space. That's them. That's a private event coming in, asking to use the public space to activate that space. They can do that on their own still, and the city can still consider that under the motion that I'm presenting here today?
Yes. The city could issue a special event permit for a private event.
Okay. So the city could do that and still achieve Commissioner Miner's objective, and still have and we could require them to have a secured perimeter and that type of stuff.
If as part of their proposal they propose a secured perimeter, yes.
Okay. So perhaps we amend this motion and to allow for a private entity to submit their interest to the city to provide a a family friendly event within a secured controlled perimeter within this area of the city, welcoming that so that it can be considered by the administration, can be considered by the city commission, because whatever it is, I would want it to be approved ultimately by the city commission. But I don't want it to be programmed by the city, produced by the city, paid for by the city, because that is just like repeating, history over and over again and being wasteful with our resources. But if there's a private entity out there that's willing to come forward and do it, I won't close the door to it if they provide that secured and controlled perimeter within this part of the city. And I do believe that there's ways of doing it where you don't block access to the buildings. They can do it just east of the sidewalk on Ocean Drive so that access to the sidewalk is still available. Or east of the westernmost travel lane on Ocean Drive, so that there's still access available. I think that there could be ways of doing it. So I'm fine leaving that door open, Commissioner Miner. I just really do think realistically it's going to be difficult for someone to come forward, because as the manager mentioned, we had Goodwood. Goodwood, a very well-funded organization, an established organization with lots of resources that for a year and a half – for a year and a half was trying to do specifically that. And the challenges were so great that they have withdrawn their offer at a great detriment to our city, I believe, by the way, because I really do think it would have been transformative. So I'm willing to leave that door open, Commissioner Minor, in case someone does come forward and the administration comes forward with a recommendation that is then considered by the city commission. I'm willing to leave that possibility there.
Commissioner Minor.
I mean, Rafael, it has to be a private event to do the secured perimeter, correct? I mean,
that's what we've advised, yes.
You just don't want any city resources. I'm not looking to, by the way, that's where I agree with you. But, you know, when you say any, let's say it was, you know, $100,000 for whatever reason that we had to spend, you know, but otherwise it's this great event, private entity doing this exhibit. I mean, that's why I don't want to preclude myself if it's I don't want to say nominal $100,000, but you know what I mean.
Can I weigh in? Look, if a fully baked, reliable, caged in area, whatever you want to call it, can be done, you're going to get support. I think you're sort of trying to, you're not obviously stopping yourself, because at the next meeting, if the work can be done, I think there are real issues. I support what you want to do 100%. I'd love to see that. The problem is that in such a large area, when you go into the court, you take dozens, if not more than dozens, many dozens of private businesses, which we may end up trying to do, but we may end up with court problems, all sorts of things. I don't know. So for me, I'm going to support any good idea, any possible idea, because I agree with the goal 1,000,000%. I just think you and the manager and whomever else need to figure out if it's a truly doable thing. I know you believe that, but it has to be really doable. If it is, everybody's going to support it, because I don't think anybody disagrees. So you can try to moderate this so there's not internal inconsistencies with what might happen later, but it's another 4-7 vote. And you're going to need 4-7 anyway. So if it's a good idea, you're going to get your commissioners to say, well, whatever we said then, this is the exception, and we're fully supportive of Commissioner Minor's idea. We just don't have an action item, and I don't think it's fully baked. Yeah. Although I think they've done a lot of work on it, I don't think they're prepared to say to us, we think we should do this, because I think in just my conversations with them, there are some challenges that they got to either work through or not. But you need 4-7, so you either get it or you don't.
I would encourage you, Commissioner Minor. I think we really want to be – I want to be as responsible as we can today with the action. I think really sit down with the city administration. You're very passionate about your vision for this. I think speak it with them, walk it through, see whether – is it really realistic for 2024 to set this expectation to have this secured perimeter? Because the last thing we want to do is to support the idea of doing something that is perceived to be secure that doesn't end up yielding what we want. I just hesitated. I want to be able to incorporate it here so that we don't leave that out and we achieve your vision. I just hesitate that really has to be baked well. And I would just say maybe just work it out well with the city manager and her staff. Bring it as an item to the commission so that it's something more standalone. But at least the one direction that we're giving to the administration that it's clear is that these city-activated events, these Queen of the Courts and these AVP events and all these other high rocks and all these other concerts and all these other things that we have been doing throughout that just use up out of everything that we need so much during this period of time. Police resources, escorting teams, police resources, securing for the setup, police resources, securing for the takedown, police resources, securing for the concert, police resources, securing for the volleyball, police resources, securing for the Marlins event that we had, police resources, securing for the Kiwanis concert, which Kiwanis, thank you for coming and being part of our community during the spring break. It was really very grateful. We're very grateful, but that's not where we need the police. We need the police on the west side of Ocean Drive. We need the police on the side streets of this district where we have drug deals that happen during this period of the year and frequently throughout the year as well, where we have these prepackaged liquor stores. We need the police on Collins Avenue, where we know we have issues with some of these front porches and in different parts of our city, but not in these city-sponsored special events, which they're lovely and they feel great and they're beautiful, but those events are using up resources that are cherished resources during our most critical time of the year. I'd urge you and encourage you, please support this so that there's unity in the direction that we give to the city commission, and then you can independently work on your vision and see if it's feasible for next year or not, so that we really do give something solid to the administration tonight.
Commissioner Minor, let's finish.
And thank you.
Up.
And I think your comments, Commissioner Fernandez and Mayor Gebler, are helpful, and I'm going to support you because I think fundamentally we are in agreement. I agree with you that's not where our resources should be going, and I don't shortchange the challenges of doing this secured perimeter that I'm contemplating. It also keeping in mind that you're right, Alina, the crowds could move elsewhere, so we have to be mindful of now not a secured perimeter, but securing the South of Fifth neighborhood, securing Flamingo Park neighborhood. So there are multitude of challenges, but I actually really believe we can do it. I think part of it is, and this is, I don't mean this as a criticism, it may come out, but I don't think, Alina, you and the chief share the same passion that I do for this concept. I really believe it can work and will work, and I'm going to come up with a very concrete proposal, and I'm going to present it to our commission, along with your help, obviously, because I know you'll do the work. But I think it is challenging. I mean, and you've been forthright about it. You said it in late March when we met about this at our emergency meeting that I had asked for and the mayor had called. That there are real challenges with doing the secured perimeter, and you weren't convinced that this was the way to go. So I am sort of trying to get over that and convince you and obviously my colleagues that we can do this in a way that it will be nice, classy, will protect the surrounding neighborhoods, not just Ocean Drive, but the surrounding South of Fifth and Flamingo Park and otherwise, but also get the message out early and often to make and again, I keep saying it, but the DUI checkpoints, it's a whole combination of factors that we can do and implement that I believe will shut the party down. The party will not come here.
Yeah. Okay, we're all rooting for everybody. All right, are we done? Can we agree to this?
Well, should we call the question?
Yeah, that's what I want to. This is my, are we done talking about it? Time. It's been moved and seconded. Any objection? Show it done. Okay, we got one more item. Moratorium on issuance of special events. Fernandez. R9C.
R9C is discussed MOU with FDOT, closed causeway, second and third weekends of spring break.
Yeah, I'll second it. Any objection?
Well, I would say
work with the FDOT and to the extent that whatever you can do to limit for public safety, we should do. I don't know, state law is applicable here as well, but why wouldn't we try to work with the state government?
Yeah, and Mr. Mayor, if we could yield to the city manager, because I think their staff, her staff has been working with FDOT.
Well, it goes without saying, obviously, and thank you, Commissioner, that we do work with FDOT on a very regular basis in preparation for every single spring break and every single high-impact weekend. Jose and Raquel and our team have met multiple times and discussed options. And again, Jose, would you update the commission as to, since March, what the discussion has been?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. Jose Gonzalez, Transportation Mobility Director. So following commission direction back on March 27th to engage FDOT on the viability of entering into a memorandum of understanding with them for the potential closure of any of the causeways leading into the city during the second and third weeks of spring break, we had a meeting with FDOT leadership back in April. And we learned a lot from that meeting.
we had previously shared with FDOT the resolution, the City Commission resolution. FDOT expressed some concerns with that resolution, primarily the fact that they stated that FDOT does not have the statutory authority to give to any municipality the statutory authority to close any roadway on the state highway system, whether it's a causeway, an arterial, or whatever type of roadway. They expressed that the authority that they currently have that's vested in law is to approve maintenance of traffic plans, traffic control plans related to construction projects, emergency events such as spills, for example, but not to close a roadway when it reaches capacity or for a major special event. And I just want to note that FDOT has previously approved what we call high-impact period maintenance of traffic plans. And what that does is that it closes one lane on each of the causeways. So out of the three inbound lanes, two remain open and one is shut down for primarily purposes of the license plate readers for police to deploy those and set up that operation. But anything more restrictive than that, that would either bring the causeway down to one lane or completely close the lane, FDOT said that they would not be amenable to.
I'm sorry, they will not be?
That they would not be, that's correct.
This is a, go ahead, Commissioner.
I think this it's concerning when FDOT says that they wouldn't be amenable to it, but under certain conditions, you know, once we reach certain conditions, they have in the past, and they're cooperating.
Mm. Let me tell you, I've been in the middle of this quite a few times.
Okay,
and here's what's happened: the three or four times I've been mayor, and it's happened. Please. I get it's the middle of the worst weekend. I get a call from the manager or the chief or both in a conference call, and they say, I don't know, I won't say it was this manager. They say, we cannot take any more people on the island. Our emergency vehicles cannot traverse its arteries. It's a danger. We want to close everything down. And we just do. And by the way, we did this once, and I got a call from the governor's chief of staff who said, you can't do that. And then I said, hey, send me an email, and I'll let everybody know we can't do that. And then he said, let me call you right back. He called me right back, and to his credit, they sent a couple dozen FHP down to help us do that. So at the end of the day, we all figured out how to do it. But at the end of the day, what guides us in these decisions, I think, is public safety. At this point, these guys aren't going to let people on the island if they can't stop, can't bring an ambulance to someone having a heart attack. I mean, we just do what we have to do. So these are all very... good people, DOT are very good people. They have rules, and no one is going to say, I'm not going to do something. We should reach out every time we can. These are all careerists who are very able and are trying their best. But at some point, sometimes, as they say, stuff happens. That's not the quote, but stuff happens. And when stuff happens, you got to do stuff to make sure lives are not lost. And we have done that a few times, and frankly, this governor's office, when I had the experience with him, couldn't have been better because although they were unhappy, they came back and helped. So, you know, we get it done. You should pass your motion, and we should try to get all we can do on the front end because it's certainly better to get permission on Friday than to ask forgiveness on Monday. But if we have to ask forgiveness on Monday,
and I don't think, Mr. Mayor, I don't think this was an action item. So I think it was more of a discussion for an update. Mr. Mayor, before we adjourn, though, I just want to just ask you. So where did we end up on alcohol sale hours? What happened with that?
What happened with that is there was not a consensus, and we didn't have a complete dais. So what's going to happen is we're going to get an item brought to us. That is, we're going to vote on, which is going to be a citywide ordinance rolling back to midnight for everybody to vote on. And I've asked them also to bring one on the more regional area for the LDR, because I believe, even though you may not agree, that if we do an ordinance that has a problem, I'd like to at least have an LDR that would never have a problem, because an LDR and all the decisions seem to, if it's a five vote majority would seem to be able to withstand judicial scrutiny because we've never had a problem on a five-vote LDR. Right?
And Mr. Mayor?
No, we have not.
We have not. So okay. I'm going to ask us to consider both.
And let me ask you this, just so that I understand well, and I can be well prepared for that. That more regional geographic area, is it as what was presented in option two, which is south of 23rd Street, or is it as amended as suggested by our colleague Commissioner Dominguez?
If our colleague is the fifth vote, we'll move it down. Okay, I want to have a backup in case we lose our citywide rollback. And the best way to do that is to have it in an LDR. It's not perfect. It's not great. It may not be totally fair to everybody, but, you know, a lot of this is not a question of fairness in that sense. It's a question of what we need to do to keep the city safe. So I'm going to ask that we consider both, and I'll see how many votes we get on each.
And if I just may, Mr. Mayor, sure. Mr. Dominguez, so you're completely opposed to the option that provides parity across the city, where we don't treat one area differently than the other, where we just send one clear, consistent message citywide as to what is our approach for only two weekends out of the year.
If you want to, you don't have to answer, by the way. In fact, Robert's rule says you typically don't address another person, but he did it very politely, so you're free to do it. If it was less than polite, I would have chastised him. But go ahead if you'd
like to.
Spring
break is a problem on Ocean Drive, and we need to tackle it on Ocean Drive. Doing a citywide rollback, I don't see it as fair, and it's affecting other businesses. So even what we're doing with my amendment, if we were to move forward south of Lincoln Road, that's still not fair, but it's trying to tackle the problem in the dense location of where it is. We need to stop spring break. We need to be aggressive. Doing a citywide is unnecessary, in my view, because we're not having people congregating on Ocean Terrace or at the Banshell or in front of the Diamonds. None of that's happening. So,
thank you, Commissioner. And Madam Manager, I'm just wondering, putting aside or taking into consideration what my colleague just mentioned, but in terms of messaging, when we're messaging to the world, what is spring break, what is our spring break plan, and all that, is there any concern of mixed messages? That spring break does exist in Miami Beach, or that spring break does not exist in Miami Beach, when we adopt a policy that says, well, you know, we're rolling back south of Lincoln Road, but we're not rolling back on, you know, north of Lincoln Road. From a communication perspective,
I think the bigger issue is the legal test. And, you know, I think citywide, you know, assures a better legal test in terms of implementation and being able to implement. Messaging is always an issue. And what is the message? And actually, I'd like to get some clarification even on the curfew resolution, because the curfew resolution specifically requires us to distribute the notification to businesses, and we have not done that. And so the moment we do that, there's going to be a reaction, and I don't want that to surprise anybody.
Okay.
Right, and the messaging would be South Beach.
Let me
the issues are with Ocean Drive.
The curfew is very specific to south of 23rd Street.
So if I may, let me very politely criticize both my colleagues' as position. and I mean this in the nicest of ways. I really do, because I think you both are very well-intended, but I don't think you're correct. So you only want to do it citywide because you think providing cornering off some areas, even if they have a history, is unfair to other areas. And you only want to do it in some area because you think there's not a problem in the other areas. Look, there's no right to 5 a.m. or 2 a.m. And, in fact, our residents voted 57% to do it citywide with exceptions, which sounds a little unfair, but it's not, because it's just the way it is. Some areas are different than other areas. To me, the most important, I don't think it's an imposition at all for 9 days or 10 days for us to simply say, hey, we're going to have a quieter city, citywide. And I can justify it on both sides. I can tell you that you only want to do South Beach, but Commissioner, it's very possible if you close off this area, you're going to get a lot of really great parties in Collins Park and other areas. Maybe not, but I don't think it's that big a deal to say for this 9-day period, midnight. And that's it. And I don't think it's either a big deal also to say to just a regional area commissioner that, well, we care that this is an area that's a little more problematic, so we should focus it there. I don't think it's a big deal in either way, because it's a minor thing. There's no right to it. Most cities don't even do what we're saying we have everywhere. And there aren't a whole lot of places, by the way, that are even late night in these areas as well. Most of the places close at 2 or midnight anyway. So we're really just talking about saying and advertising, to your point, to the world that, hey, if you're going to come here during spring break, do not expect the party you saw last year, because everything's been rolled back. It's going to be tame and docile, and it's going to be like that citywide. So everybody go to bed early and have a good night. And that's what the message we're going to send out. So I would urge you both to support both, because I'm more concerned that we have this very great discussion and then our lawyers put together the two best vehicles and one of the vehicles fails. Right. And if one of the vehicles fails and we're left without anything, then we really are in a bad spot.
I'll tell you, Mr. Mayor,
I didn't offend you.
No. Of course not. Of course not, Mr. Mayor. And thank you for your eloquent statement. The challenge that we have is not what we can control. We can control our policy and the legislation we pass here and the direction we give to the city administration. What we can't control is the promotions that private entities make, and then how they're perceived by the public. And so when we say, well, we're rolling back south of 23rd Street, but then north or south of Lincoln Road, but then north of Lincoln Road, it's okay. Well, then that means it's not just that it's okay and doesn't just mean that now businesses south of Lincoln Road are being treated differently than businesses north of Lincoln Road. It also means that you're going to have businesses engaging in promotion, in advertisement, booking performers, and bringing more crowd and more density and more people into the city and into that part of the city. And I don't and I think that that's exactly what we're trying to avoid. That's why the issue of the messaging is so important, because we're actually sending conflicting messaging. We're saying in one part of our city we're shutting the door on spring break, while in the other part of our city we're keeping the door to spring break open and allowing nighttime establishments and clubs and even clubs and hotels and other places to book performers, do promotions, and continue attracting the problem that we want to stop attracting. And that's why I strongly feel, and rarely am I so persistent about something like this, Mr. Mayor, but it's important for me, because we're all going to continue dealing with this for years to come unless we really do this right and we do it holistically. And I think the four of us sitting here, I think we all really want to do that. Notwithstanding, you know, what our residents in certain neighborhoods think, and they're well-intentioned, I get it. You know, they may have certain establishments in their neighborhoods that are great, and it's sad to see them for only 2 weekends out of the year having to close earlier, but it's for the greater good. It's for the greater good of our community. Those are the sacrifices we make as a community, because we want to make to be proud of Miami Beach, especially during spring break. We don't want to see headlines of people getting shot and people, you know, bleeding on the streets. And we don't want to see images of stampedes. And I think even if we roll back south of 23rd Street or south of Lincoln Road, we set ourselves up for failure, even in that part of the city, because the message is going to be a mixed message. People who are seeing these promotions don't know the difference between north of Lincoln Road and south of Lincoln Road. What they'll be seeing is that there's spring break in Miami Beach. And that is the message that I think we can control if we truly take a holistic approach here and we act on option A to do something citywide.
And that, Commissioner, is exactly why I'd urge you to support both of them if that's what you want. Because if you support both of them, you get citywide. The only way that south of 5th matters is if we lose the citywide to the courts. Citywide requires 4 votes. South of Collins Park requires 5 votes. So under any circumstances, you get citywide. The only time it matters south is if we lose citywide in the courts and all we're left with is that. And I would argue that south and only south is better than nothing, because the only time it matters is if nothing is available because we've lost. I want to do both of them.
And so let me just ask this, and I want to just respectfully ask my group two colleague, without mentioning by name, the group two commissioner.
Don't put me on the spot.
No. But my it's all collegial. No, I guess my question is, to the mayor's point, if I support what you're looking to do with south of Lincoln Road, to the mayor's point, and let's say that the goal, are you able to support, as the mayor stating, you know, both? If we team up and we try to do something that's holistic for the city, if I come into your court, I support you with south of Lincoln Road, will you be able to come and meet us in our court as well? So that if something does fail, ultimately we just want to be able to advance a protection, a safeguard for our city, so that we can have proper messaging out there. Okay. Are you a complete and total no?
Commissioner, you're entitled to answer or not.
I think this it's a great discussion, and I'm looking forward to talking about it more at the July meeting.
Okay. You got a demurred response. Commissioner Minor, you've been you've been polite. You can give us the last word before, and I give you the hammer.
Wow. So just wanted to comment.
Hold on. He's got something to
just
read.
Just one thing. The manager did raise an important point. With the March 27th resolution that you adopted, it directed us to mail that endorsement of the intent to declare a curfew.
Okay.
So we didn't hear four members tell us not to do that, and so we're directed to do that, and
yes,
we're going to do that.
And by the way, as my understanding, as you've explained it, is pretty simple, that we can tell you, we can ask her to do whatever we want, but at the end of the day, the only way it's legal is if at that moment she says, hey, I need an emergency right now, right?
Yes, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, so this is a strong urging into the community.
It's putting everyone on notice that they should expect that this could happen.
Yeah. Why not? All right.
Just
Elena, are you okay with that?
I just want to make sure that all of you understand what the ramifications might be, because while we understand the subtlety involved here and what would be required for purposes of implementing it, I think that receiving that resolution is going to be impactful, and I want to make sure that all of you are prepared for that.
I think we are.
So perhaps would you just for purposes of the record, so that everyone is aware, walk us exactly, and I think it was my resolution, can you just walk us on the record of exactly what we are communicating to the businesses?
So we're sending this resolution saying that the commission endorses in advance of spring break 24 the manager's intent to declare a state of emergency for the area south of Dade Boulevard, 23rd Street, in accordance with Chapter 252 of the Florida statutes for a possible period of up to 42 days, but specifically for the period which may potentially include March 7, 2024 through March 18, 2024, or portions thereof, which is the period that we've historically experienced threats to public safety. So that's the gist of the resolution that would put people on notice, establishments on notice, that they may be looking at a curfew next year during that period.
And that's the key thing, and perhaps that should be accompanied with a letter that explains it's not that there will be a state of emergency, it's not that there will be a curfew, but you should note that given historical data, given the fact that this is what happened in 2019, this is what happened in 2020, this is what happened in 2021 and 2022, that we can now project, based on historical data, that this is a possible reality for 2024, and to you know, just be aware that we have endorsed the manager's ability to do it. It's not saying that it will happen.
In the resolution itself and the recitals going through each year that we've declared year after year, the same problem in the same area, the same weekends.
And I think, and while it's in the recitals and the whereas clauses, I think a lot of times people don't read the whereas clauses. And I think it might be good that if perhaps there be a cover letter that explains to the businesses that it's not that this will occur, but given the historical data, that out of a courtesy, we're letting you know so that you know how to staff properly, so you know how to program properly, so you know how to inventory your building and your business properly. And so I would just suggest, Madam Manager, that you do that, and thank you for seeking that guidance from us. I think we all agree with it.
We do. Commissioner Minor, thank you, Commissioner Fernandez. I think that she's happy you said that. Now, go ahead.
You mentioned that point about the whereas clauses. They are very important.
They are important.
All resolutions.
All right, why don't you go
ahead? That's not my point. The FDOT item. So I just wanted to make a point. I'm going to actually bring a resolution to the next meeting. 2 years ago, I brought an initiative that, you know, when we close down our causeways or we reduce it to one lane in these emergency weekends, whether it be the month of March, potentially after a hurricane, it is a tremendous inconvenience to our residents who can get stuck for 4 hours. It's more than an inconvenience. It's a potential public safety issue when you're stuck and you can't get home to your home. So I had worked actually with our police department and mostly with Fire Chief Virgil Fernandez. Virgil Fernandez. And we had come up, we spent about 6 months, we come out with a very comprehensive plan. We would have a resident-only lane come into Miami Beach. It would be triggered sort of by sort of similar technology as license plate readers. If you're registered with the city for the parking reduction, you'd be automatically enrolled. It was a great plan. But the only problem, and it's a big problem, is that it has to start on the causeways. It's too late once you're in Miami Beach proper, and FDOT would not give us permission to do it. I met personally with the District 6 manager who denied our request. And I don't have any visions of grandeur that my bringing a resolution now will change their minds, but it really should be something that they consider because it's the resident city, and they're basically, because of an emergency that we're required to do something, they should not be precluded from entering back into their city for 4 hours or so, and also people know not to leave. They know they can't get back in, so people are basically stuck here. So it's completely unfair, and I'm going to bring that back to try to get FDOT to change their mind on that.
All right.
With the mayor's permission?
Do it.
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, Commissioner Martin.